much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
What show is this?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
So, how are the new meds working out?
Better, I think. Yeah, not hearing so many
voices.
Yeah, not as much.
And the rage?
Pretty good.
Well, that's encouraging.
Side effects?
Dry mouth, constipation, discolored urine.
Everything makes me hard.
Talk about that.
There's a cough button? Why isn't there a beer mug button?
Kevin and Bean. Oh, Kevin and Bean. Yeah.
And now.
We both know they're weak.
I don't think that.
Yes, you do.
I do sometimes, yeah.
Our feature presentation.
We have our own theme, though.
We have our theme.
I know. That's pretty cool.
It's a theme for
us. Awesome. Adam Ray to do that.
Weird. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 24th of April.
What's going on, you skies? How's everybody?
You skies.
Yeah. You know, just hanging and banging. Like we do.
Mug says he's going to give 78% today, so I feel like
wow.
That's a real commitment from him for the program.
That's like twice yesterday.
Exactly. So, hey, there's been some talk, no further details beyond the date, but we're getting into K-Rock Weenie Roast time.
Yep. Yes, we are.
And the date is May 31st. That has been announced. Do I have that right? It's 31st, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every year when we put tickets on sale for the Weenie Roast or for Acoustic Christmas, there's always some consternation from people who would like to come to Southern California to see the show, but they live in other parts of the country. They can't buy tickets.
Right. We restrict it to the Los Angeles area.
Now, why do we do that?
Well, I mean, I think it's just because we want to reward the people who listen to the radio station. And if you're not, able to listen to it, then I don't know, Bean.
No, I think that is it.
That plan was, I think maybe you're right, is the people who hear K-Rock on the radio are the people who I guess we care more about than the people who may stream from around the country, maybe?
Well, there's a whole lot more that listen.
Yeah,
locally.
I would think so. Well, the reason I bring this up and the reason this is on my mind is because I don't know if you guys saw the lawsuit that has been filed against the NFL right now.
Oh, it did not.
John Williams III of Nevada lives in Nevada, so it doesn't say which team he's a fan of. My guess, if he lives in Nevada, is probably a 49ers fan, but that's just a guess. So he wanted to go to the NFC Championship game between the Seahawks and the 49ers this year. It was in Seattle on January 19th, but he could not because the Seahawks had limited ticket sales to the Pacific Northwest.
Right.
To Washington, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, British Columbia, Alberta, and actually Alaska and Hawaii as well, because the Seahawks have a very strong following there.
But pretty much everywhere but Nevada.
Well, no, I mean, those are all kind of Northwest places, So, he filed a lawsuit for, $50 million, first of all.
Yay! Wow. Oh.
$50 million. He filed a federal complaint, by the way, operating without an attorney, representing himself, accusing the Seahawks, the NFL, Ticketmaster, and others for fraud for their unconstitutional selective sales of tickets to national events held in public stadiums.
Hmm.
So I'm no legal expert here. I have no idea. But his argument is that the stadiums are financed with public funds, so anyone in the public should be allowed to attend the NFL game. It's a public event. You can't discriminate against members of the public based on where they live.
But don't those cities are the public that pays for those stadiums?
Yes.
The whole country doesn't pay for them.
Exactly. The stadium, in this case, CenturyLink Field, was built with public funds from people who live in Washington.
Exactly. Yes, done, Lisa.
Thank you.
So Lisa's been dating an attorney, you can tell.
Yeah.
She has a lot of these conversations over dinner.
Oh, yeah.
It's been interesting to see the reaction from around the league, including the coach of the 49ers, Jim Harbaugh, who agrees with the Seahawks. He says, I actually respect it. What you're trying to do for your team is put them in the best possible position to win. I respect that their organization does that for their team. I think they do that in a lot of ways. And by the way, it's also mentioned in this article that several other teams have done it. The Chargers have done it. Denver did it for their AFC Championship game. They restricted sales to states very near to Colorado,
yeah,
for instance.
I thought it was a normal way to do it. I didn't think just certain people did it.
So anyway, there was a lot of belly aching from 49ers fans because Seattle and San Francisco are so close. You could understand that a lot of 49ers fans wanted to make the drive up
sure.
to Seattle to see their 49ers, you know, root them on. They weren't able to buy tickets, so a lot of them were butt hurt. But it's an interesting lawsuit to see. I don't imagine it's going to go anywhere, but it's certainly something that that may eventually have to be looked at in the court. We'll see.
That's weird. That's a weird topic to go to, you know, the courts.
But we all agree $50 million is reasonable, though.
It's on the low side of reasonable.
Because even though the game was on TV, he wanted to go in person, you guys. So I think let's give him at least that.
Are there scalpers?
Yes. And by the way, they didn't win the 49ers, right? I mean, so.
Right. But that's irrelevant to feeling he should be able to buy tickets.
Right. But it would have been a bummer. I mean, who goes, yeah, that must have sucked to be there. And then,
right.
I'm going to sue for $50 million because I couldn't be there.
I'm sorry I missed seeing my favorite team get eliminated.
Right.
Exactly.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I'm not going to answer your question, and I don't want you to ever ask me again.
All right, Bieber. Take it easy. comedian Brett Gelman will be on the program today.
Mm-hmm.
He's a weirdo.
He's got a show called Dinner with Friends with Brett Gelman and Friends, if you believe the way Dave wrote it. Is that accurate?
It's accurate-ish.
Okay, close enough.
Yes!
We're going to talk... Wow, what's going on?
Ticketmaster!
Dr. Drew's going to be on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to ask him about Lisa's ridiculous diet of gluten-free.
Yep.
And then we're going to force bread down her throat.
Yeah, no.
That's right. That's the plan. We're going to give you your choice of breads.
Lisa, bread is not going to get... People have been eating bread for thousands of years and have been fine.
People aren't eating the same bread today that they were eating thousands of years ago, Bean. Open up a blog.
Yeah, Bean.
Lisa read a book and all of a sudden she believes that bread is poison.
It's just one book. You're right. That's me.
Okay, good. So we're all in agreement.
Will you abide by Dr. Drew's ruling on this?
Absolutely not.
Because he's the smartest guy we know.
Absolutely not. Why? Who's the doctor here?
There's lots of doctors.
Oh. Dr. Drew is the best doctor because he's on TV.
That's right.
Well, that is a good
point. The TV doctor.
You're right. Okay.
You guys heard about the 16-year-old dude that stowed away on an airplane.
Oh, my God, yes.
Flew to Hawaii.
In the wheel well.
And was okay.
It's amazing.
It's an unbelievable story. We'll tell you more about that today. And
that kills you 999 out of 1,000 times you try that, you die.
Yeah, I would think before this story, I would have thought, 100% would die.
Yeah.
But apparently not. Arcade Fire tickets, we're going to give them to you. We got them in about a half hour for those of you that have to get up early.
Okay.
So keep listening for that. And we have Ian Somerhalder coming in studio talking about, the Vampire Diaries and some nonsense about the climate change and all that BS. Okay. So anyway, we'll talk to him coming up. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz. You are listening to the world famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Thursday morning, our friend Ralph Garman joins us for Showbiz Beat. But first, Ralph, if you'll permit us,
we
need to open up the phone lines at 1-800-520-1067.
No.
That's too late now.
I will not permit you.
We are looking for folks who want to go to Arcade Fire. But here's the thing. There's a little bit of a catch. You have to be willing to see them in the second row. Okay.
Who sits in the second row?
I know.
Just in the second.
What kind of loser sits in the second row?
I mean, you can still see it.
Sort of.
But you know what second row is? First loser row.
Yeah, that's true.
Arcade Fire, August 1st or 2nd at the Forum. We're looking for contestants right now. We'll give you a chance to earn your way in. 1-800-520-1067. Time for the Showbiz Beat. Now here's Ralph.
You know I love collecting. You know I'm a collector.
Yes.
I love the collectibles.
Like no one I've met.
It's a big part of my life is my collection of vintage Batman memorabilia. It brings me an enormous amount of joy.
Right.
So I understand the collector mentality. I watch the shows. I watch The Toy Hunter.
Hate.
I watch. How can you hate The Toy Hunter? It's awesome.
Because I'm the opposite of a collector. I just want to throw everything out.
I watch American Pickers and... You know, all those kind of shows where people are collecting, especially...
How can you love it? It's crap.
Especially antique things and things either with sentimental value. I love that stuff.
All right.
But I am at a loss.
Even you can't
Even
understand.
I'm at a loss with Ryan Bites of Moscow, Indiana. in Moscow, Idaho. Ryan and I will never see eye to eye on this issue.
What did he do?
He's a collector, and he is collecting. He's trying to collect. He's a completist. Some people are. They want to, you know, all of the thing they collect.
Right.
He's trying to collect every copy of the film Speed on VHS ever made.
On VHS?
Yes. He's collecting every copy of the film Speed, starring Keanu Reeves and Sandra Bullock, on VHS ever made. He dabbles in the laser discs as well. He has 26 of the laser discs. But as of right now, he has 550 copies of Speed on VHS tape.
Those of you that don't recognize the VHS thing, it was before, you know, DVDs and Blu-rays. That's how you used to have to watch and tape TV.
That's magnetic tape, right. So, Ralph, as opposed to you and most collectors who try to get as many one copy of as many different items as possible, he just has one item he wants and he wants all of them.
Yes. He wants to get as many copies of the film Speed on VHS that are out there existing.
Now, they had to have made 100,000 of them, right?
I would think.
And
however,
how many are left?
How many are left, though?
How many are left, indeed.
Still, you know, I'm sure they made 100,000 dinosaurs at one time, Bean. But wouldn't you like to have all the dinosaurs that are still roaming the Earth right now?
That's a reasonable analogy.
All right, maybe that's a bad analogy.
How many did you say he has?
Currently, he owns over 550 copies of Speed on tape, on VHS.
And Kevin's question's a good one. Why?
Come on. Speed.
Right.
He says it started when he bought half a dozen copies at a pawn shop. Thought they'd make a great gag gift for his family at Christmas. Everybody gets a VH copy of Speed for Christmas. Right. That's funny.
So he's got a sense of humor, at least.
He said once he bought them, he got hooked because he said it was really fascinating to have that many copies of one thing. Then, at another pawn shop, he found 30 copies in one store. He bought them all. He said, then I was hooked.
So is he just looking for them on eBay every day?
Goes to swap meets, goes to flea markets, goes to pawn stores, goes to thrift stores, looking anywhere he can for a VHS copy of Speed.
Dumbass. King of Mexico, we'd like to speak to this young man.
We'd like
please.
To speak with Ryan Bites of Moscow, Idaho, and say, don't do that.
That is weird.
One film, all of the copies, all of them on VHS.
It's
VHS is the way to go.
Sure.
Because there's a finite number to it. You know, they're not making more VHS tapes of Speed out there anytime soon. So you could potentially, I guess, own all the available
copies. In the day they were making a lot of them.
But I'm saying they're not making any more.
Right, no, I hear
there's
you.
A finite amount.
Right.
So if you wanted to try to be a completist and own as many of them that are available as possible, I guess you could reach that goal someday. It's not like DVDs or Blu-rays where they're constantly making new copies every year.
Yeah, they replace the ones that are sold.
Right.
Ralph, does he have any thoughts at all on Speed 2?
No word yet on Speed 2.
I guess we have a lot of questions. We'll just wait.
Look,
until
if he was collecting copies, available copies of Speed 2, he'd be done already.
Yeah.
Because that's true. Such a bomb. They probably made about 12. He could have had them all. But Speed is his fixation.
That is a shocker.
I wonder if we should do this as a phone topic one day. I wonder if there are other people who collect as many of one thing as they can.
That would be weird.
And nonsense things as well. I mean, this is absurd.
There's a fine line between a hobby and mental illness,
yes.
It turns out. And I think Ryan has crossed it. Yeah, don't you indeed. Bieber got a crash course in international relations this week and, you know, inadvertently alienated about a billion fans.
How did he do that?
He was in Tokyo.
Yeah.
And he decided to visit the controversial Yasukuni Shrine.
Which is what?
The Yasukuni Shrine is a shrine that honors Japan's war dead from World War II, but also promotes Japan's historical, militaristic, imperialistic qualities.
Okay.
And it honors many who committed mass atrocities against China.
Okay.
The Chinese are not, are not a fan of this shrine.
Ah.
Because it glorifies the war atrocities against China. So it's a very controversial place to go. If you wanted to be neutral and appeal to many different cultures, you would not go there.
All right.
Bieber went there. He said, While in Japan, I asked my driver to pull over, for which I saw a beautiful shrine. This is legitimately what he wrote.
All right.
Once again, let me give you that syntax. While in Japan, I asked my driver to pull over, for which I saw a beautiful shrine.
Okay.
He thought it was merely a place to pray, he says. To anyone I have offended, I am extremely sorry. I love you, China, and I love you, Japan. Well, there are many angry responses from former Chinese fans of Justin Bieber, including one who writes, maybe you are a giant in Japan, and that's the reason why you like Japan. Anyway, please don't come to China forever. We really don't like stupid people.
Wow.
So he is apparently not welcome in China from a lot of Chinese people who are very upset with his behavior.
That's a growing list of places that Justin Bieber
one by
welcome.
One, he's crossing countries off of the list. I just love his apology. Yeah. While in Japan, I asked my driver to pull over, for which I saw a beautiful shrine. It sounds like a poorly translated...
It does, yeah.
...document from English, into English from some other language. For which I am to also go, and though for to have there for.
Today, Kevin, you're starting to feel relatable here?
How dare you.
Today's celebrity birthday.
He actually speaks well English.
He does speak well English. Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty family is 68 years old today.
No.
David Jay from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus, bassist for those bands, 57 years old. Cedric the Entertainer is 50. Jamin Hunsu, who is 50 years old today. Linda Clark, she's 45. That's a good 45 right there. That
Wait, which one is she?
Linda Clark's the redhead who was on the OC, and then she was on Entourage.
Yeah.
Eric Balfour. 37 years old today. Actor Austin Nichols celebrates his 34th birthday. Kelly Clarkson is 32 years old. Every time I hear her name, I think of Steve Carell getting his chest waxed and 40-year-old virgin. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects is 30 years old. And model Catherine Webb. I believe she's the beautiful girlfriend of AJ McCarron, right?
Isn't she certainly is.
True, yeah. 25 years old.
Or Musburger, whoever.
Yeah, who's ever got her these days.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show as...
It seems awfully early for any licking to be going on here in the studio, but that's the game that we're playing. It's Lick Lisa here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Arcade Fire tickets in the second row. Hit it, Steve.
Can you lick Lisa? I think you'll find it's hard. But if you do lick Lisa, something hot's waiting for you.
Lick, lick Lisa, lick.
Ah, stupid rule.
All right, I'd like to just recap for people that weren't here what happened. We asked Christine, our sister producer, if she would come in and lick Lisa.
Uh-huh.
She said, I'm a little too busy. So then it fell to Beer Mug.
Yep.
And Beer Mug goes, I'll lick.
And then it's close to food.
And then Christine heard that and said, you know what? I'll come in.
Because
you wanted to spare.
Oh my God, you are my girl.
Spare Lisa.
She's definitely looking out for you, Lisa. All right, Arcade Fire tickets August 1st or 2nd at the Forum in the second row. You're also going to be qualified for the grand prize drawing we do next week to put your name on the ticket. You get a dressing room. You get to introduce the band. You get tickets for you and 9 friends. It's an amazing grand prize. The game is Lick Lisa. Contestants are on hold. Kevin, you want to explain how this one works?
Yes, I ask a question. Lisa May answers. Not the caller. Lisa answers. And then you have to say, is the real answer higher or lower, or did she nail it? Is it right on?
Okay.
That's all you have to do as the listener.
All right, so if you're right, you go into the drawing to win the tickets, and you also have Lick Lisa, which means Christine will lick Lisa everywhere except the good part. All right, are we ready to play and meet our first contestant?
We are. Adam, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Hi, Adam.
Welcome to Lick Lisa. Here's Lisa's question. Arcade Fire is a band based in Montreal, Quebec, Canada, consisting of Wynn Butler and Régine Chassaigne. I'm sure I'm not saying that correctly. Who happened to be married.
Okay.
They're a couple. They're married. Speaking of marriage, Lisa, how many people got married in the United States last year, 2013? How many people got married?
I'm going to say 30 million.
30 million.
Really?
Adam,
really?
It's a real...
How many weddings did you go to last year, Lisa?
So many.
Is the correct answer 30 million or is it higher or lower?
Lower?
Lower is correct. 2.168 million.
That's it?
2.1.
Oh, darn
that
it.
That seems like a lot to me. That's what I thought. I was thinking she'll never guess. Yeah. She'll never guess as much as that.
Oh, Christine. Was that the back of the neck, Lisa? That's
yes,
your favorite.
It was. That's my best part.
All right. Adam is in the drawing. Up next is Brian. He's on line two. He's our next contestant to play Lick Lisa.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
A couple of weeks ago, Arcade Fire recently headlined Coachella. For the last several years, there are two weekends of Coachella, followed by a weekend of country music called Stagecoach. To listen to country music, though, you have to drink a lot of beer. The country that drinks the most beer is the Czech Republic. Lisa, your question is, how many bottles of beer does the average person in the Czech Republic drink each year?
30 million. all right, let's see. How many average bottles?
Czech Republic.
So they have the highest percentage per person. That's amazing.
Per year?
Yes.
How many bottles of beer a year?
Average each year.
1,000.
1,000. All right, Brian, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
Per year?
Oh, my God.
What's happening?
That would be every person three beers a day, right?
Again, I thought 471 was a lot.
Not even to be like 2.5. That's nothing. What's the answer?
471. I thought that was a lot. I thought you'll never guess that
losers.
High.
Losers.
Somebody doesn't get to lick Lisa. Sorry, Christine.
Aww. All right. Let's go to Arthur. Hi there.
Good morning. Hi, Leaf Man.
Hi, Arthur.
This is going to make everybody mad. Arcade Fire is originally from Canada. There are many famous musical acts to come from Canada, the most offensive of which is Justin Bieber. Lisa, in 2013, and we've discussed this before, how much money did Justin Bieber make in 2013?
In 1 year, for a punk ass at the time, 19-year-old.
Yeah, it's something disgusting like $60
million. $60
million.
All right. Arthur, is that right on, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
Higher.
It's actually $57
million. Wow.
Pretty good guess.
Wow.
Dang,
right. So far, only Adam is in the drawing so far for Arcade Fire tickets. Let's see if we can get a couple more people.
All right, let's go to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Good morning, everybody. I got to give Adam a run for his money here.
Good luck. In 2008, Arcade Fire won the equivalent of the Grammy in Canada, the Juno Award, for Alternative Album of the Year for their second studio album, Neon Bible. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time.
I
Lisa.
Thank you so much.
According to BibleStudy.org, how many copies of the Bible are sold each year worldwide?
Once again, I have to say 30 million.
All right. What? You're going to hit it eventually.
Right?
Sean, is that right on or is it too low or too high?
The actual answer is lower.
100 million.
No way.
Copies of the Bible are sold each year.
That is shocking.
Around the world.
Boy, you know, I've always heard it's the best-selling book in the world, but that's got to be by a lot, right?
Yeah.
By a lot, it's the best-selling book in the world.
Harry Potter's way behind that.
All right, we do have time for one more contestant, I'm sorry to say.
All right, it's going to be Lauren. Hi there.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
If you don't get it, then Adam automatically wins.
All right.
Oh, man, I'm feeling the pressure.
In 2004, the Arcade Fire released their album Funeral. The title of the debut album referred to the deaths of several relatives of band members during the recording. Lisa, speaking of funerals, how many funeral directors are there in the United States? How many funeral directors are there in the United States?
I can't even
so
begin.
Lucky.
30 million.
30 million. Is that the accurately, Lauren, or is the actual answer higher or lower?
I think lower.
Lower.
Yes. I'm sorry. Oops. Yes, by a lot. Lower.
32,800.
Is that all?
Which again, I thought was a lot. Until
really?
Lisa you said
did?
30 million. Yeah, in the United States?
Yeah.
I think Lisa is throwing the game because she wants to get licked one more time before this is over.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Thank
other
you.
Side.
Oh,
wow.
All right, so it's Lauren or it's Adam. Only one will win second row seats for Arcade Fire, be eligible for the grand prize drawing. Lisa, who's your winner?
I don't know. Muggs is doing the drawing.
Muggs, who's the winner?
Lauren.
We never want to go to Muggs for this, do we? Lauren, congratulations.
Awesome, thank you.
You got the Arcade Fire tickets in the second row, and thank you for playing the game.
Thank you so much.
Lisa, lick, lick Lisa, but keep clear of her vagina.
Actor Ian Somerhalder from The Vampire Diaries and The Years of Living Dangerously is going to join us next hour here in studio on The Kevin and Bean Show. He's going to terrify us, isn't he?
Yeah, he's going to tell us the world's ending.
World's going to end. Like, yeah. He's going to be one of those, the sun's going to burn out in our lifetime.
Yeah,
guys,
he's going
right?
to be a downer.
Okay. Well, he's pretty, though, so we'll let him come in. In the meantime, though, there are lots of ways to reach The Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, we got the Kevin and Bean Facebook page. We're at Kevin and Bean on Twitter. We got the Instagram page. You can always call the Afro line at 323-520-AFRO. You can do that. There's also the old-fashioned way, which is to email us, and we got a couple of things that are follow-ups on topics we have done recently on the program. I think this is... I was surprised, Kevin. I think you were out today. Hey, do we have the music for the little email here?
Yes, play that? Okay. We do. It's play.
There it is. I think you were out the day that I was shocked to find out that the world universally prefers toilet paper with the paper coming off the front of the roll instead of in the back. To me, I had no preference whatsoever, and I was shocked to find out how vehemently people disagreed with me on that. That over is apparently the only way to go. Ralph even said that he will go to places, if he's at somebody else's house or at a business or something like that, he'll change it back the way it's, in his mind, supposed to be. That's how much he believes in over.
I saw some response to that, and I was like, how is that interesting to talk about toilet paper?
Well, it's a universal, something everybody uses, but I was just so surprised to find out there was such a preference, though. Here's a dissenting opinion, though, from Laura, who says, Dear Bean, I have two cats, and if I put the toilet paper on the roll with the paper hanging over, then the entire roll will be unspooled on the floor the minute I walk out of that bathroom. In my house, we are under people because we have asshole cats, says Laura.
Answer, get rid of cats.
No.
And we did hear from other people with cats who have the same problem. Dear Kevin and Bean, I'm a huge fan of the show. I listen every day to the podcast. I heard you guys talking about how Woody Harrelson saved Jennifer Lawrence's life with the Heimlich maneuver. You mentioned something about having a call-in type topic about people who save your life. I have a crazy story. Years ago, I was in pretty bad shape. I was addicted to OxyContin. My addiction got so bad that I started robbing pharmacies to support my habit.
Wow.
6 months and six robberies later, the cops came pounding on my door. I locked my door, ran to my room, took the rest of the drugs I had. It ended up in a 12-hour standoff with the Huntington Beach SWAT team.
Oh, my God.
By the way, our listeners bring it, don't they? I was in bad shape because I took way too many pills. I woke up in the hospital handcuffed to a bed. The nurse came in and told me that I had no pulse when I arrived, and the only reason I was alive was because the SWAT team tased me and then restarted my heart. Craziest day of my life. Oh, yeah, fire beer mug. That's from Kevin. Not very many of us have stories that are that exciting.
No.
Involve a standoff with the SWAT team.
And you died, and they shock you back to life?
Seriously.
Wow.
Dear Kevin and Bean, heard you talking about strange family traditions on the show the other day. I am from a Latino family, and I am shocked to find out that Caucasian Americans don't push a person's face into the cake on their birthday.
Yeah, we had somebody call and say, when the kid is two or three, they bring out a birthday cake, and then they lean in to blow out the candles, and then everybody in the family grabs the back of their head and jams it into the cake.
That sounds horrible.
It does sound horrible.
And we were saying, why would you do that to a three-year-old that's now going to be afraid of birthday cake for the rest of his life?
Yeah, it sounds awfully traumatic, doesn't it? And no fun for the kid whose birthday it is.
That's a Latino thing, though.
A Latino thing. Also, taking an empty suitcase for a walk on New Year's Eve is another common Latino tradition. That was something else we learned about that day. That is from Miguel, so thank you so much.
You people are crazy.
We had a lot of reaction to the conversation about Gwyneth and Chris's conscious uncoupling. Dear Kevin and Bean, Lou writes in, my ex-wife and I reached an agreement that our relationship was not working anymore. We had two children, and it was incumbent on us to be good parents to those kids. We had regular family time, meetings, dinners, finances, all shared for a 10-year period living in separate residences. So far, so good. Well, a couple years after our divorce became legal, I began dating another woman. With that, we entered a period of conscious meltdown, conscious fighting, conscious what the F, and conscious bat-ass crazy. Years later, we're back to a normal family routine now, but we're still in separate residences. We're way better than Paltrow, but not that wealthy, says Chip.
Wow.
By the way, it is funny how well you can get along until the one person in the relationship starts dating somebody else.
And that email said several years after it was legal.
Yes,
that's crazy.
Right. And finally, here's a complaint letter, and I feel like we do need to address these as well. It's not just all about, hey, I love the show. This is from Ernesto, and he's very upset. Hey, guys, I'm writing to let you know that you are a bunch of liars. I just went through 2 weekends of Coachella looking forward to all the great bands that you said on the air were going to be there. Here are some of the bands you guys promised me at Coachella that did not appear. Where the hell was Conflicted Boner?
Why wasn't there an atomic wedgie? What about spatula-wielding chicken thrower? Where was fecal urgency? Cannibal rats? Nasal maggot infestation? Clown with a gun? Kevin, you specifically said unrelenting douchebaggery would be there.
Well, I did.
Giant honking lemurs? Pooping wrapper? Shoot up doors? And my favorite, ass full of Lindsay.
Oh, ass full of Lindsay was there on Saturday night.
Oh, you're kidding.
That was a surprise.
Well, anyway, we apologize, Ernesto. We really tried. We did the best we could with that, but we did lead you astray. But there's always next year. Thanks so much for writing, and thanks for listening to the Kevin and Beach. This is one of the strangest stories I can remember seeing in a long time. Like we said earlier, you try this 1,000 times, 999.9 times you dead. This kid survived it. 16 years old. Listen to what he did.
This morning, the FBI says a 16-year-old boy hitched a 2,300-mile ride across the Pacific in the wheel well of a pack plane, despite a lack of oxygen at 38,000 feet and temperatures far below zero. Security footage does show the boy hopping a fence at the San Jose airport Sunday morning. They say he then hid in the unprotected, unpressurized wheel well of Hawaiian Airlines Flight 45, passing out once the flight got to altitude because of a lack of oxygen. Incredibly, they say he stayed there throughout the 5.5-hour flight and didn't come to until an hour after the plane landed at Maui Airport. Dude. They say ground crews called authorities when they saw the boy walking around on the tarmac. They say doctors checked him out, and despite being subjected to temperatures of 50 degrees below zero, he appeared to be just fine.
There have been two cases in the past in which stowaways have survived high-altitude flights. The explanation? The lack of oxygen leads to a gradual unconsciousness, and then the hypothermia from the cold temperatures preserves the nervous system. Hibernation, basically.
5.5-hour flight.
Unbelievable.
50 below.
50 to 80 below, yeah. It sounds to me like the way he's describing passing out and the hypothermia setting in, that it's a pretty good idea. It sounds to me like they're recommending it.
I don't think they are, Bean. I think they're saying don't do that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, first of all, would you ever in a million years even think of this? Much less try it. And second of all, I haven't seen this story on the TV, so answer this question for me. When you put yourself into the wheel well of a plane, you're not just hanging on, right? Is there some sort of a cover that goes over it that keeps you secure inside the wheel?
Never having done that, I don't know, but we do have the kid on the line. You could ask him.
What?
If you'd like, yeah.
We don't even know. His name's not even been released to the news yet. How was Dave able to track him down?
Listen, I don't know. Magic. I don't
know.
Wow.
Hello there, young man. Can you hear us?
Yeah, what do you want?
Who is this?
Just call me X.
X. X. Okay.
Because I'm not giving you my name, stupid.
Okay. Wow, why the attitude? All we wanted to do is talk to you about the stowaway story.
Shut up.
Where are you right now? What's that noise behind you?
I'm going to school, dummy.
Oh, you on the bus?
No.
You're going to school. Where's school?
I'm not telling you where my school is, well, okay, stupid?
I'm just... All right, tell us this then. Why did you smuggle yourself on board that plane?
I was running away from home.
What?
I was running away from home, stupid!
Wow, it's getting really loud where you are. Could you step away from whatever machine you're near?
No, I'm going to school.
Oh, you're in a bus?
No, I'm under the bus in the wheel well.
Why? Wait. Why? You could just get on the bus.
I like riding in wheel wells, stupid.
Okay, it just seems like it'd be much more comfortable just to walk up the little steps and sit on the chair.
Hey, listen, Grandpa, you travel your way, I'll travel mine, all right?
Didn't the doctors warn you that you were lucky to be alive once you got to Maui?
And look at me, I'm still here, ass.
Yeah, you are. Now, you understand that you came to an hour after the plane had landed. It could have just as easily taken off again.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, that would have been a bad deal. You would have been back up in the air. You might have died.
Why don't you die, ass?
You have a pretty bad attitude.
You have a pretty bad attitude. You have a pretty bad face.
You've never, while that's true, you've never seen me.
Yeah, so?
Okay.
Young man?
I hope you fall out of the wheel well, young man.
Shut up. I hate you. I hate my parents.
Well, this is a stream length to go just because you hate your parents. I mean...
You don't know my parents, man.
No, I don't.
That's true. That is true, actually.
Just stay out of my business.
Okay. All right. Well, good luck. I hope you make it to school okay.
Of course I make it to school okay. I made it across the Pacific Ocean okay, didn't I?
Yeah, but that you were lucky. I mean, you were extremely lucky. Oh, no. What?
An unforeseen side effect.
What happened?
I thought he was fine in there.
He seemed... You all right?
Turns out I get bus sick.
Well, you know how I feel about whistling.
It's a pretty catchy tune, though. Remix. Nicely done. It's the world-famous K-Rock. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:52. Now, did you come here to whistle or you come here to do the showbiz beat, Ralph?
I came here to kick ass and chew bubble gum, and I'm all out of bubble gum.
Well played.
Thank you so much. Hey, I was listening to this Kevin and Bean Show earlier this morning.
Don't do that.
And I heard Bean talk about that lawsuit.
Yes.
That dude filed against Ticketmaster and the NFL and whatever have you because he couldn't buy tickets to his beloved San Francisco 49ers game against Seattle for the NFC Championship.
Because they restricted the area codes from which you could buy.
Right. Which made me think of this story I read this morning. I don't know if you heard about this guy or not, but there's another lawsuit from another football fan. He is a Buffalo Bills fan, as if that wasn't bad enough. But... this guy sued the Buffalo Bills. His complaint was the team sent him too many text messages.
Can't you block that?
Of course.
Oh.
He brought a class action lawsuit against he signed up for the team's news service, which promised 3 to 5 texts a week. But then he received 6 messages in 1 week and 7 in the next.
That seems just like barely more than they promised.
Right. He claimed that the extra messages violated the Federal Telephone Consumer Protection Act and sought damages of $2,000 per message for everyone who received them.
Wait, he was a Bills fan?
Yes!
That's the surprising part because, I mean, I get the Seahawks text, for instance.
And I get the Eagles text.
And I'm excited when one arrives to
always
see what's
happy,
new.
Always happy.
That guy got 5, though, and 6. I mean, that's crazy, right?
It is crazy.
That's
outrageous. And this lawsuit's crazy, right?
Oh, I think he's got... Yeah, it's crazy.
And that's why the courts found in favor of him, and now the Buffalo Bills have to cough up $3 million to settle the lawsuit.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not.
He won?
Class action lawsuit. Under the terms of the settlement, tens of thousands of fans who signed up for the text service from the Bills... will receive a total of about $2.5 million in the form of debit cards redeemable only at the team store.
Oh. But still, that's a stupid lawsuit.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And he's a fan of the Buffalo Bills!
Yeah, why would you do that? Why would you... I don't... No.
Bean says no.
By the way, in answer to your question, he could have unsubscribed.
Certainly.
Right.
Yeah. Madness, right?
Easily.
Madness.
Yeah, madness.
Oh, this is good. We live in the golden era of cinema. We live in a magical time.
Okay.
Take note, because when history looks back upon us, this will be known as the golden age of movies. Not only.
What are you talking about specifically?
Not only do we have Mrs. Doubtfire 2 in the pipeline.
Right.
But now, just announced, Peeps the movie.
Peeps.
Peeps.
Like check out, like, my peeps?
No, like, what's up, my peeps?
Peep this out?
No.
Yo?
Peep as in the classic marshmallow candy.
The Easter candy?
That you find in Easter baskets that no one likes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Muggs likes them.
Muggs does.
It's pure sugar.
What? Yeah.
There's a movie?
The movie, the major motion picture based on Peeps.
That's not going to happen.
A full-length animated feature film starring Peeps.
Mmm, delicious.
What the hell?
Yeah. Peeps the movie.
You said Peeps.
I did say Peeps.
The Easter candy.
The Easter candy. You know how you know it's a candy that sucks? Any candy that sucks is seasonal.
They don't bring it out all the time.
You know, you just can't go to your local Albertsons and pick up a big case of Peeps in June. or October. You don't just go get peeps.
That's but you true. Also can't buy chocolate bunnies in August either, and
but
that doesn't mean
chocolate,
they suck.
But you can get chocolate. I'm talking specific kinds of candy. You can get all forms of chocolate anytime you want.
So this is your complaint against candy corn. I see where this is headed. And fruitcake. I see what's going on here.
Candy corn is crap because you can only get it at Halloween because it's in those Halloween colors. That's the only time they can move it.
All right.
You cannot get candy corn in June because it sucks.
How about this? I submit for your approval. How about an awesome food item that's only available at a specific time of year, and that's eggnog.
We'll get back to you.
I'll get back to you on that.
That's not a candy, though.
I said candy.
Not a candy.
That's how you know a candy sucks. Thank you. Thank you. My lawyer brings up an excellent point.
Candy canes?
Peppermint. You can get a peppermint candy anywhere. You can get those little round ones. The same thing. Same color. Striped. Red and white. You can get them little wrapped up mint candies anytime. True. Anytime.
All right. I'm going to get back to you then.
No, I'll get back to you.
No, how about if I get back to you
first? I'll get back to you.
Who's hungry?
How about a live-action Barbie movie? Sony's just announced they will be working with Mattel to produce Barbie, the live-action comedy.
Are people in Hollywood just looking around their offices at what toys
they have? They're going to their kids' rooms and going through the toy box and saying, hey, Slinky, the movie! Green light! what else we got in here? Yo-Yo! Yo-Yo, the movie! Green light! Etch-a-Sketch, the movie! They're just yelling out names of toys, and there's just production companies waiting to spring into action.
So Transformers was a bad thing for the industry then, the success of that franchise.
That may have been the tipping point, yeah. That's where it all started. But also, look at Legos. That Lego movie, that made everybody think that any toy they could
find, they could turn
into a movie.
That was really well done. Well, that's always the way.
It's always one person does a really good job with one specific kind of film in a genre, and then everyone else brings out their weak-ass carbon copies.
You mean like Battleship and G.I. Joe?
Yeah, we have to suffer through it.
I like both those.
Of course you did. Because they're loud. I like loud toy movie.
No, no, and no.
I hope peeps are loud. Can people eat the peeps really loud on a part of bus? You're the problem.
I do not believe I will see the peeps.
You are
movie.
The problem. I guarantee you will.
If it's on a party bus, you'll see it.
If a peep explodes, you'll be there.
I don't think
so. Look at that. That peep blew up. I go moving now. Me like matinee. I go regular people screaming. And a quick update on Christbearer. Just want to give you a heads up on Christbearer.
Hey, was your rapper friend who cut off his penis?
Andre Johnson, who cut his penis off and jumped from a second-story building trying to kill himself.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently is now said to be recovering at home.
What a bummer.
Due to the fact he cut his penis off, he now no longer goes by Andre Johnson, just Johnson. And since he cut off half his penis, say doctors, he's now got a new stage name as well, 50%.
That made me laugh. You couldn't even get that out without laughing.
50%? He cut off half his penis.
Right.
Now he goes by the rap name of 50%.
I get it.
I don't think you understand.
I understand.
If that joke blew up, you'd get it. Well, joke exploded loud. Today's celebrity birthdays.
If you don't sing, you don't get no birthday cake. If you can't swear, you can't have no birthday cake.
That's right. David J. from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus, the bassist for those bands, 57. Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty Clan is 68. Cedric the Entertainer is 50, as is Jamin Hunsu. Great actor. Melinda Clark, 45 years old today. The talented Eric Balfour celebrates his 37th birthday. Remember how good he was on 6 Feet Under?
Yes.
Played Claire's boyfriend on that show. He was great. Now he's in Haven, of course, on Sci-Fi. Good actor. Austin Nichols, 34 years old. Kelly Clarkson! 32 years old. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects is 30 years old. And model Catherine Webb celebrates her 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey!
Hey!
Little off.
Yeah.
Need practice. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Ian Somerhalder joins us in a moment. Wait, what am I hearing? What's going on here?
You're hearing me.
Oh, Roland. Not now. We don't have time. We have a very busy show today.
Yes.
Yes,
Dr. Drew's coming on. We got comedian Brett Gelman on the program today. Ian Somerhalder is here. He's getting ready to come in here. What
I
do you
understand,
got?
I understand, but I have a lifelong calling to stamp out ignorance wherever I find it.
That's your calling?
Yes.
Okay.
And I find it on your show more places than most, actually.
Yeah.
What did we say that was wrong?
Yesterday I heard you talking about the Flash Gordon movie.
Yes, Ralph covered that, I think, fine. He was very excited about them making that a feature film, and I think we talked about it and moved on. What's left to say?
Yeah, Flash is coming back!
Right.
But we covered that. I thought you'd be mad at us if we didn't cover it, but we did.
Well,
we talked about it in detail.
I was mad at one of you. I believe it was the blonde one.
It was me. Yeah,
saying,
Kevin.
Oh, Flash, is he the one who runs really fast? Ah!
That's not a bad guess.
I accept that it is.
Well, it was an easy mistake
Flash
to
Gordon
make.
Flash Gordon is one of the most classic, influential superheroes of all time.
Why are you on the Starship Enterprise right now?
Because that's my basement is made to look like the bridge of the Starship Enterprise.
I see. Okay.
So when I call you from down here, we just have to hear that. Can we kill the sound effects from Star Trek? Because right now we're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not the one who runs fast.
Flash Gordon was first published in 1934. Okay, a long time before Flash was running fast.
Okay.
Alex Raymond, does that name ring a bell?
No. Who's Alex Raymond?
The original artist who drew.
Why would we possibly care about that? Even if we were interested in going to see the new movie, why would we care about the artist that drew it in the 30s, Roland?
Because it's history. It is a long, long, wonderful history. Did you know he was originally a polo player, Flash Gordon?
No.
Yeah, he was a handsome polo player from Yale University before he got taken to Mongo, the planet Mongo, from Dr. Zarkov and Dale Arden.
All right, now okay. You're going to have to slow down at this part.
you just lost me when you brought in the Mongo.
How did you get to Mongo?
Because Earth was being bombarded by the fiery meteors of Ming the Merciless.
Ming the Merciless, okay.
Right, tyrannical leader of Mongo. And so Dr. Zarkov invented the rocket to locate where those meteors were coming from that were destroying Earth, and so they fly in the spaceship to Mongo.
And Mongo is a planet in our solar system that we've never heard of? Where's Mongo?
That's about...
Mongo's in space, okay?
Right!
Okay. And they fly there, and that's where they find Ming the Merciless, and they have to try to stop him, and they do, with the help, of course, of, you know, King Prince Baron from Abroria and Queen Freya from Phrygia, and Queen Desira from Tropica, and of course King Kala, who rules the Sharkmen, and Prince Vulton, who rules the Hawkmen.
So you're making all of this up.
It's all real, and it's all awesome.
Okay, well look, can we table this now and just get excited the day the new Flash Gordon movie opens?
We didn't start talking about the Buster Crab series in 1936 yet.
We don't care about cartoons in the 30s, though.
Okay, it wasn't a cartoon. It was a live-action serial starring Buster Crab.
Okay. I don't care.
Well, how about the animated series from the 70s, 1979 to 1980 from Filmation?
Nope.
There was a 1980 movie with Sam Jones. That's where they changed. Can you believe they changed the sport from polo to football?
That's outrageous.
That is crazy.
All right. We really got to go because we got a guest ready to come in here.
Hey, Roland, when is that movie coming out?
Probably 2015.
Okay. I'm with Bean. I think maybe we save our excitement for then, and now we're okay moving on.
You know, I've got a Flash Gordon laser pistol around here someplace.
That's not... Nothing happened. It's just a...
Yeah! Take that!
Take what? A sound effect?
What are you doing?
Shooting you with my Flash Gordon laser pistol. Suck it.
Like a baller, man. He just strolls in without a care in the world. 5 seconds left in the song. He just sits down and boom, he's ready.
How come when I do that, I'm a bad employee?
I don't know. Ian's just professional. You know why? Because he doesn't look like he's panicking when he does it. He just looks I got this. That's the look on Ian Somerhalder's face. Hey, Ian, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Hey, man, I couldn't be better. Are you in Seattle?
He is. Yes, sir.
I love that town, man. Spent a lot of time there.
Town loves you, I guess?
It actually does.
Would you like him to give a message to anyone? Or, I don't know how that works.
Ian says hi, you guys.
I love Seattle. Hi, Seattle.
By the way, speaking of awesome places, Ian, you tweeted something the other day that I want to talk to you about because there are very few things I miss about Southern California. No offense. But one of them is Poquito Mas in Burbank. And you were at the Poquito Mas the other day.
Yeah,
and
it was yesterday, dude.
Was it just yesterday? It sounded to me like you were kind of having a moment sitting out there in the sunshine enjoying a burrito. What was going on in your head?
I was it was the craziest thing. I was sitting there just having my tea. You know, it's beautiful and quiet and warm. And I had this weird nostalgic feeling. I almost like chills. And I thought, why? What the hell's going on? And that's why. Because 60 months ago, almost to date, I was sitting here and ultimately my life changed. Literally hours after that, because I went into the studio and I booked this little show called Warner Brothers. Booked this little show called The Vampire Diaries.
So that's where you were sitting as you were, you said, running through your lines on your way to the audition.
Yeah, like the final one, because, you know, your pages look like doctor prescriptions all over the place. There's just notes and thoughts, and there's coffee and blood and dirt and whatever, because you just take them with you everywhere.
Why is there blood on them?
That's how he works.
I cut my fingernail. And I sleep literally before a huge, huge, huge audition like that. I did it with Lost. I did it with this other huge movie I almost got once. And then I did it with Vampire Diaries. I actually sleep with my sides, my pages, under my pillow before the audition the next morning. Somehow maybe I absorb it through osmosis, maybe.
You're crazy.
Well, no one's arguing that.
Okay. All right.
How much do you remember what your mindset was for that audition? Was it just, hey, another job, this would be nice? Or is it something that you were super, super into, like, I got to get this one?
It was the latter. I mean, dude, come on. There were everybody and their brother wanted this show. And, you know, by the way, I've still never seen a Twilight movie, but I knew it was so huge. And that if this show could harness that power, but do it in a serialized way and kind of do it every week. Kevin obviously knows what to do, and I've known Warner Brothers. I've been working with Warner Brothers for I've been working with Warner Brothers since 1999. 15 years I've known these guys. So I have an amazing relationship with them, and I just thought, man, if I can just drop in and make this happen, and beg Peter Roth to give me
that show has gotten crazy.
It's huge.
I mean, it's I don't mean the popularity of it, but it's you try and recap it. We've tried a couple in the last couple days since we knew you were coming in. We go.
It's a little difficult.
Let's recap what happened. And then you get stuck, like, at the very beginning of season five. It's confusing. People taking over other people's bodies and the whole thing.
Yeah, it's pretty intense. I sat with Caroline Dries, our amazing fearless leader now and executive producer, yesterday in a screening at the network. And that's exactly what journalists were saying. You know, I mean, come on. And Caroline said, well, okay, well, we've simplified this and we're going to do – so I think it's going to ultimately become – much simpler.
I'm not saying that because it's bad. I'm just saying I watched the show and
it's tough to follow.
Get your head around and recap.
Brother, I'm on the show and it's tough to follow.
Now, we spoke with you, Ian, in January when the show was celebrating its 100th episode. Are you surprised to see the show still going so strong 5 years in?
Well, considering my track record of never really getting past 1 year on a TV show.
I'd say that's a yes.
You broke the curse.
I broke the curse. Listen, I think it's something like 95% or it's 95% of every TV show ever gets canceled in the first season. So after 2, 3, 4, 5, I think it exponentially doubles the percentage wise. So by the time you're in season 5, you're like 800% against the odds.
Yeah.
And that's cool, man. That's
you're hitting home runs at this point if you're still on the air.
That's a historical thing.
How has Damon changed over the course of the last 5 years, or how has the way you played him changed?
You know what? Not at all.
Interesting.
Not even a little bit, because ultimately, I work with this woman named Ivana Chubbuck. She's probably literally the most incredible acting teacher, coach, walking the face of the planet ever. And the one thing I've really learned from her is to infuse, you know, you have to find the connective tissue between your life and what's going on the page, because I hate to tell you guys, Damon is not a real guy.
What?
Mystic Falls does not exist.
Spoiler alert.
I know. It's okay. Here's a tissue.
Thank you.
And so the only way to make that guy real for me is actually infuse what happens in my life, past, present, and future, into the page.
What if what's happening in your life doesn't lend itself to that?
You find it. You know, if Damon's arguing with his brother, you know, I might be arguing with someone in my life at that time that's not my brother. It might be my best friend. It could be my dad. And I can actually take that experience and that ongoing argument or pass and then put it into the work. And all of a sudden, boom, it's real for me. And that is sort of – it's like such a rewarding way to work, but it keeps it fresh and keeps it new. So, you
Kevin,
know,
he's an actor.
Hey, easy, buddy.
That's what's going on.
Seattle's close, man. I can get up there in a couple hours.
I'll look up that word later.
Do you think Damon sleeps with trash under his pillow like you do, Ian?
No, dude. Damon sleeps with sorority girls under his pillow.
Yeah, Damon does win, actually. That's true.
Listen, we were designing the bed for Damon. Our set designers are just – I mean, these people are so – I mean, it's amazing. If we weren't in the CW, our teams would be nominated for every Emmy, all that stuff, because they're just so talented. But the idea was, and I was asked, what should Damon's bed be? And I said, you know what?
Extra strength.
It should fit at least 8 sorority girls. And so, hence, we have this special Vampire Diaries edition. Damon's bed, that is like a double, I think, not California King. I think it's 2 king beds together.
Oh, my God.
Built together.
Awesome.
That's a village. Yeah. That's awesome.
It takes a village, man.
And what's the what's the most body count you've ever had in the bed?
Dude. I don't kiss and tell. Are you crazy?
I mean on the show.
Oh, copy.
The actor.
I think it's just been Elena.
Well, that he's wasting the potential of that sweet
arguing that, brother.
All right, if the writers are listening right now, seriously, let's load it up.
Now, you also went to Coachella, I was told. Is that true?
I am, and I just recovered with this cup of coffee that I got from you guys.
All right, now, the people in the room told me that you were eating what you called brain food.
Yes.
And
by the way,
I gotta tell you, there's something. Who needs that more than me?
You do need it.
You don't even know the half of it.
My sister, we're FedExing you a package today.
What is it?
Because I can't function. We have the show. I can't function either. Well, clearly, no, man. You're on it. I actively work in 5 companies, and I have the show and the foundation. So. I don't sleep very much.
Right.
There's this stuff, and it's this ultra brain force food that ultimately increases the synaptic firing in your brain so you can think faster, better. It's what Olympians use for pre and post pre and during competition. And man, it's just I was just talking about this earlier. We are literally only our bodies are a series of electrochemical reactions. And so
that's what I was just saying.
If you don't have the right components, then your body can't talk to each other.
So Ian, can you literally tell the difference in a day where you have taken the brain food and a day when you have not?
Yeah.
I feel less sharp when you don't have it.
I feel not as sharp. Yeah. So I think the word would be dull.
Don't. Wow. So if this is so effective, though, it sounds like you legitimately swear by it. Why is this not on the front page of every newspaper? It seems like this is a major, major breakthrough. Something like this exists and works.
Well, anyone can find it. It's called Ultra Brain Force. And there's a very, very famous trainer. He's an Olympic guy. His name is Charles Poliquin, Poliquin. And one of his people, this guy Jance Footit, trains me and designs all these – literally huge supplement packages, and they send it to me in a box. People think I'm crazy. I'll show you a picture of my kitchen.
Yeah.
I look like
a mad scientist.
There's more stuff in there, but literally I just pop this stuff all day long.
Is it legal?
By the way, it looks like it's not legal.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. It doesn't look legal, and I've had some people stop me in airports like, but it's all, there's so much of it that they realize there's no way this guy's trying to smuggle this many drugs.
So your kitchen looks like Walter White's kitchen, basically.
Who's Walter? Oh, yes, Walter White. Yes. Yeah. Yes, except.
Except no meth.
Except no meth. Mine won't explode.
So that's fascinating. I want to hear more about that. But and the burritos, they help with that, with the brain function, all the burritos?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, you got to have it. Just remember this. Our bodies and brains are in a series of electrochemical reactions, and you have to have things like salt. That's why you need electrolytes. That's why you need salt, because you can't function and your body can't fire electronically or electrochemically without it. So we're going to hook – I'm going to hook you up.
All right.
You are
going to
be buzzing around this office.
Kevin's going to be the smartest man in the building after he takes some of these pills.
Never
That's
been
awesome.
The smartest man in the building. That would be awesome.
I'm here
All
to
right,
save the
Dr.
day, brother.
Dr. Ian Somerhalder is here on the Kevin Abid Show. He also stars on a little TV show called The Vampire Diaries that airs Thursday nights at 8 on the CW. Now in season 5, we're going to take a break and come back. When we do, Ian, we want to talk about the years of living dangerously.
Yes.
Will the Earth still be here if we take a quick break and come back and talk to you more? Or is the sun going to explode and we're all going to die?
No, just hurry up.
Okay, we'll be right back. From The Vampire Diaries on the CW Thursday night today, our friend Ian Somerhalder in studio with us. You know, I was listening during the break. You guys were talking about all the, you know, all the vitamins and the creams and the
how sharp I'm going to be.
And all the stuff that Ian is doing. And I was thinking, what the hell does he know? What's he talking about? Then I looked it up. Ian is 91 years old.
Amazing.
Look at him. Look, I mean, is that unbelievable what this stuff that he's taking is doing for him?
Yeah, but, dude, I'm born in December, so I'm almost 91 and a half.
That's 91 true. And a half, and
Come
he
on.
Looks that good.
Get your statistics right.
So, Ian, I have been intrigued. I've been DVRing, but I'll be completely honest and say I've not started on the years of living dangerously. I've got the first two on my DVR right now. But Jessica Alba and Don Cheadle and Harrison Ford and Matt Damon, a whole bunch of people have teamed up with James Cameron, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jerry Weintraub, all producers, to do what? What's the point of years of living dangerously?
Basically, I mean, by the way, think about the firepower behind all the names you just rattled off.
Kidding.
I mean, it's incredible.
Absolutely. Got my attention.
So here's the idea. The idea is just like James Cameron said, this is the most important story of our time. This is not about saving polar bears and melting glacier, you know, ice sheets. This is about saving our own butts. Climate change is about saving ourselves. And so 99 out of 100 scientists say that climate change is real and it's happening and it's man-made. And the idea is like if you went to a doctor and the doctor said you have to have this surgery and 99 other doctors told you, yes, you have to have this done, would you go to that 100th doctor for that 100th opinion? No. I mean, it'd be insane. So the idea is to take celebrity correspondence. I really, truly dislike that word celebrity, but it's working for right
sure.
now. To take people with huge mouthpieces and amplifiers and microphones by virtue of what they do, and then put them in these places, whether it's Indonesia, whether it's in places that are hit hard by climate change, and allow people to see firsthand what's going on there and the repercussions and why, the anatomy of it. And that's what's powerful about the show. It doesn't use a bunch of special effects and stuff. It's the connective tissue between the emotional component and the physical scientific component of what's going on in our world.
So we all hear the phrase climate change and many people tune out from that. And it seems to me like if the story is as significant as it seems to be based on what you're saying, Ian, it ought to be almost the lead story on the news every night that we're in trouble and it's getting worse, right?
It is in ways, if you pay attention, it is the cover of the news story, man. Look at the deforestation happening in Indonesia. Look at the huge storms everywhere. Look at this flood. Look at this drought. Look at this food shortage. By the way, let's go a little step further. Let's get a little bigger. Go to the Middle East or go to Syria. Why do you think all this civil unrest is happening? Guess what, guys? Droughts. And food shortages are pushing people out of rural areas into urban areas, causing all of these social conflicts. These problems are caused because of changing climate. So not only is it a national security issue for the United States of America, but every country in the world. This is our lives right now. That's why James Cameron is not joking when he says this is the most important story of our time.
I've heard that if the wars of the 20th century, or many of them, were over oil, the wars of the 21st century are going to be over water.
Water and food, man. Yeah. Water will be traded on the New York Stock Exchange like oil a lot sooner than you think. So that water crisis that no one thinks we're in, I mean, it's crazy.
Including California, right?
Yeah.
It's unbelievable to me how much water we use here in California. No one's paying attention to the fact that we
still have these amazing lawns that we water every day. Like, we're doing so little.
Guys, we're in a water crisis. I hate to tell you. I mean, it's going to hit really hard. And the thing is that years, there's so much skepticism. And what was interesting about my episode, and by the way, oh my god, man, it's so crazy. They're coupling my episode with Leslie Stahl's. I mean, how cool,
wow, from 60 Minutes.
Yeah. I mean, she's a legend. I mean,
you're not even 20 minutes, and she's 60 minutes. You're on the same show.
I'm not even 20 minutes. Dude.
What is your episode? Because I thought this was interesting. I mean, you get in the middle of a family with a debate over climate change, right?
It is, and it's. I think the overall episode's called Ice and Brimstone, but my component of it's called The Preacher's Daughter, and it's about this evangelical preacher's name's Pastor Rick Joyner. Coolest dude. I love him. We bonded like crazy. He bought Jim and Tammy Faye Baker's old compound in the Carolinas.
Okay.
And turned it around. Did amazing things with it. It's this incredible place of education and compassion and love and religion, but here's the problem. And it is, you'll see where the problem lies. This guy has an exorbitant amount of power because there are so many people that listen to him. And don't quote me on it. I think in India alone, he's something like 14 or 18,000 schools and churches just in that one country. So it's a lot of power.
Right.
He doesn't believe in climate change. And he denies it and tells his congregation and his followers it doesn't exist. Therein lies a massive problem.
Right.
And so
how do you get into the middle of that situation?
So what's crazier is his daughter, Anna Jane Joyner, works for the Sierra Club for Beyond Coal. And there's this incredible woman named Marianne Hitt who heads that Beyond Coal campaign. And she's led the charge against shutting down. And again, don't quote me on it, but I think it's 158 coal-fired power plants, the single biggest emission polluter in this country. 158 coal power plants is the taking them offline, which is what they've done, is the equivalent of taking 45 million cars off the road. How cool is that?
Wow.
So Anna Jane Joyner believes that it is our right and social responsibility to protect what's there, whereas Pastor Rick Joyner and the rest of most of the evangelical world truly just think it's in God's hands. So it's like, wait, so if I dump 20,000 gallons of toxic waste upriver and it goes down and destroys a town and goes into the Gulf of Mexico and destroys it, you're saying that it's just God's will and God will take care of it? And their answer a lot of times is yeah.
So did you make the pastor and his daughter fight?
No. No, they've since reconciled. But my question to Pastor Rick Joyner is, okay, if you call yourself a steward of God, don't you think it's your responsibility to tell your people the truth, what is the science that exists, rather than deny that and actually have them living their lives not understanding that?
And what was his answer?
His answer is, and he's a wildly compassionate and super smart guy. His answer is, well, there's so much skewed information out there. I just think that people think it's like a conspiracy. And it's not. I mean, the scientists, you know, 99 out of 100 scientists say this is happening. And these are not people who are financially benefiting from this. They want an educated and empowered society so that we can stop this craziness. And so that's my question to Pastor Rick. I really want to provide him with all the science, all the information. We even went so far as to sit with this guy, Bob Inglis, who was, I think, a four-time or six-time congressman, Republican congressman. He led the most conservative district in the whole country, and he now knows that climate change exists. And we sat, Bob Inglis and Pastor Rick Joyner, down together, and Pastor Rick still, I mean, he understands it. He knows that coal-fired power plants, all these emissions and the arsenic and the mercury and all the stuff that's going into the air and hurting people. So why wouldn't you want to make this change? Why are politics and religion so inextricably linked that it prohibits progression?
It's interesting that you asked that question, Ian, because the clip that we have from your episode 4 of The Years of Living Dangerously, is the young woman that you spoke about on the show. And mm-hmm. Here's her answer to that question, why she doesn't think science and the Bible mix.
Why would you say evangelicals, particularly in this country, have been so skeptical about climate change?
Well, I think there's a general skepticism around science often. You know, most evangelicals or many evangelicals don't believe in evolution. For me, it's more of a personal, like, here is this community that raised me, and I want to believe that they can be on the right side of history on this one. You know, evangelicals have the most political power. So let's go for the evangelicals, and once we can mobilize them, then it's this huge shift.
The Years of Living Dangerously is the name of the series, by the way. There's Sunday nights at 10 on Showtime. Is it entertaining, Ian? Because that's really what we want in our science. Is it a fun show to watch as well as being educational?
It is, and that's what's so cool about it. Again, it's like it's that connective tissue between the emotionality and the physicality of climate change. And it, you know, you don't need to blow things up. And you know, obviously, James Cameron is the king of the most incredible visual effects that move us in ways that we never even thought possible. And you don't need it in this because the story itself is so phenomenal and the people telling the stories are so real. You can't write this in a writer's room. It's wow. happening.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking it out. That's
yeah, please
again
do,
on Showtime.
Man. Again, by the way, by virtue of us all watching the show, and by the way, thank you, Showtime. Thank you, David Nevins, for stepping up to the plate and saying, you know what? We want this to be on the air. And by us watching this show, shows networks, not just Showtime, every network, this is programming people want to see.
Right.
You know? So it's all positive. It's all positive.
Your episode is Sunday night, right, at 10?
Yeah, May 4th.
May 4th. May 4th, gotcha. Sunday night at 10 on Showtime.
And, of course, The Vampire Diaries airs Thursday nights. That's tonight on the CW. Ian, so great to have you back
Guys,
on the program, man. We really enjoyed it.
Cannot thank you enough, man.
See you soon.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55.
He's pretty dreamy, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's pretty damn dreamy.
Whoa, what? Jeez. Take wow. it easy.
I'm just saying.
He's
no, but we've all seen lots of gorgeous women that are so hot you can't even stand it. It's distracting. They take the air out of the room. Very rarely do you see a guy who you just go, dude, what's happening here? You know what
so
I mean?
So good.
So I'm just saying. I just appreciate what he brought to the table. That's all I'm saying.
So good.
Hey, Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz be here on a Thursday. What's going on?
So good.
Come right, on. You guys are with me, right?
Yes, I just think we would say it in a less creepy way.
There was nothing creepy about me saying that the man's attractive. That's
you
all
can't
I was
judge
saying.
How creepy you're being. I'm sorry. That's somebody else. Stop it, Ralph.
All right, Ralph. We got it.
I'm just saying I think you need to nail your loafers down to the floor because they're a little light. They might float away, those loafers.
Well, Lisa, you're with me.
He's pretty dreamy.
Yeah. That's all I'm saying. That's hey, all I'm saying.
You know why she's Lisa's with you? Because she's a woman.
Right. But you don't have to be.
But
look,
you're
I don't have
to be blind just because
yeah,
you're
not
a guy.
Blind.
You can tell a guy that's good looking.
Well, that's what I was saying. I'm saying he's a good looking yeah. guy. I'm going, he's a.
Right.
He's a.
It's the delivery.
There is
he
that.
He sucks all the air out of my room.
Look, I'm as heterosexual as the next guy.
Yeah, if the next guy is Ryan Seacrest.
But I'm just saying, he's a good looking dude. That's all I'm saying.
We're on the sausage hunt right now. Wow.
Yep.
You have made creepy an art. You're like the Michelangelo of creepy. You're the Jackson Pollock of creepy.
Getting kind of a gay vibe, though.
Come on.
That's not paint.
Yummy.
Meg Ryan has a new gig. She's agreed to be the narrator of CBS's upcoming sequel, How I Met Your Dad. Remember how Bob Saget was the voice of How I Met Your Mother?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Meg Ryan will be the narrator voice of How I Met Your Dad.
Oh, good. She's off camera then.
So mean.
Really?
Bean has two speeds. Creepy and mean.
That's I don't have a thought about her either way acting.
Really? Have you not seen her in the last 25 years?
Her plastic surgery adventures have not ended well.
Yeah, she's gone awry.
That's what Bean is alluding to.
She's no longer is driving in her lane.
Speaking of hideous and repugnant, Taylor Swift is in the news.
Who? I'm sorry, who?
Tadoff Swindler.
Thank you.
How dare you?
She is, the rumor is she's going to be acting and guest starring on the hit HBO show Girls.
Well, she and Lena are very good friends, so I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yes, he knew that off the top of his head.
Anybody else know about all Taylor Swift's best friends?
Did not know.
No.
Yeah. This is good, though, for most of us, because we can ignore Girls and Taylor Swift at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
So it's helpful. That's imagine true. If she was on a show you like, then, oh, what are you going to do? What are you going to do if she's on, you know, Mad Men or something like that? Oh, my goodness. I'd be in a quandary.
It would be tough. Yeah.
I just wanted to listen to Taylor Swift alone.
Back to you, Ralph.
What's happening?
I don't know. Bad things. I'm afraid to ask.
Good news. The season finale of Chris Lee Knows Best did very well. 1.5 million viewers.
Does that mean it's coming back?
Then we get more Chris Lee Knows Best. Yeah. Best show on television. While we're talking about reality shows, True Tory, Tory Spelling's Lifetime docuseries, did very well in its premiere on Monday night as well. 1.2 million viewers. The show, of course, deals with the life of Tory Spelling, whose husband, Dean McDermott, has been accused of seeing many other women in the tabloids. And also, when he told her, I've been seeing many other women, I guess that was part of that accusation.
Bit of a problem.
They've got four children, by the way, who are caught in the middle of all this. But Tory, and in a very classy way, is exposing it all on television and making a reality show out of it. There's like cameras in there while they're going through therapy and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just yucky.
I don't think I want to see that.
And it's also a little bit desperate because isn't she broke, Ralph? Isn't that like this is her job, right? This is the only thing she can do.
Yeah. And he's upset because his name's not in the title of the show. Some of their priorities may be just a wee bit skewed.
Just a bit.
Coldplay, this is rare anymore. It used to be de rigueur, as they say. It used to be standard operational procedure back in the day when there was a big musical act that had a big following. You know what they would do? They'd throw them a TV special. They'd say, here you go. Take an hour of our programming and just knock yourself out. Doesn't happen much anymore, but Coldplay is getting its own primetime NBC special.
No kidding.
The one-hour show, it's called Ghost Stories, which, of course, is the name of the band's new album. And you'll see live footage of the band from last month's show in Los Angeles, performing new songs and a few of the hits. The special will air Sunday, May the 18th at 7 p.m. And then Ghost Stories will be out on the 19th. So it's kind of a commercial for the show, but it's kind of cool. You'll see,
Sounds good.
Them play live.
I'd watch
that. I would watch that, too, and I plan to. They're also going to be a musical guest on the May 3rd episode of NBC's Saturday Night Live, which will be hosted by Andrew Garfield.
Watch the DVR that one. Got to get through some slow material to get to the musical.
Andrew Garfield's good.
Yes, he is.
More SNL news. Charlize Theron will be hosting the show on May the 10th.
That's going to be, every second is going to be precious.
That's what I'm saying. My co-star from A Million Ways to Die in the West, which of course is coming out at the end of May, so I guess there's a lot of promotion for that coming up. With Charlize. Black Keys will be the musical guest on that show.
No, that's going to be a great show.
And then Andy Samberg's coming back to host SNL on the 17th of May. And St. Vincent will be the musical guest on that show. So they might have some actual good episodes coming up.
So good.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Reality star Phil Robertson from the Duck Dynasty clan. He is 68 years old today. From what I understand, he's very tolerant of homosexuals.
I believe that is true as well.
I don't know much about him, but that's the word on the street. Huggy Bear told me that. David J.
Good reference.
Thank you. Love and Rockets and Bauhaus is 57. Cedric the Entertainer is 50. So is Jamin Huntsu. Melinda Clark's 45 years old. Eric Balfour is 37. Austin Nichols, very talented actor, is 34. Kelly Clarkson's 32. Tyson Ritter of All-American Rejects is 30. And model... former Miss Arkansas Catherine Webb is 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I want the show to speak.
Arcade Fire tickets in row number 2. August 1st or 2nd at the Forum. We got them for you at this hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And if I may just make a small programming note. This time tomorrow, we're going to be talking to Jonah Becker. You don't know the name, but he is the director of a documentary about the Penis Museum in Iceland.
Oh, yeah.
That's not fascinating enough. Which, yes, Kevin?
Which... Bean has been to.
Yes.
Kids, stop clapping.
The point is, a fascinating documentary, especially when you see that there are men who are competing to donate their penises to the museum while they're still alive. So that's the crazy story he's going to be telling us this time tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Like, every animal penis is there in the museum, but they do not have a human one. And
well, that's a huge hole. In their collection.
That's not how it works,
that's what
Lisa.
He said. And so two people are trying to become the first one. They're both competing. It's the strangest thing ever. All right, let's talk about people who are afraid of flying. Because sometimes it's a ridiculous fear, but you can't really help it. You can't help what you're afraid of.
I don't think people are afraid of flying as much as they're afraid of crashing.
Of dying, sure. Yeah, I mean, that's the point, but it's... so safe. I mean, really, billions of people do it and don't crash.
Right up until you're the one who does.
Right up until you're the one who does.
Tell that to Malaysia 370, Kevin.
Good point.
So we want to take your calls about the scariest flight you have ever been on. Something happened with the mechanics of the plane and you guys thought you were going to crash, or you lost a lot of altitude, or you had something crazy going on in the cabin or in the cockpit that caused chaos and caused people screaming and caused you seriously to think the plane was in trouble. Those are the stories that we're looking for right now. I don't think we've ever taken this call, these calls before. I'm fascinated to hear the stories that people have had.
I remember, you know how when it's hot, it gets real shaky on the landing and takeoff?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember that the plane was banking left and right and left and right when we were landing in Phoenix. And this is you know, my skills.
Phoenix is always bad.
My English skill, not being up to the level of a four-year-old. The wing, the left wing, it looked to me like it was going to hit the runway. It was tilted to the left enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I yelled, "Hey!"
That was your way of alerting the captain that he was...
I thought maybe the captain would wake up and realize... I don't know. I really, honestly, afterwards, I thought, why did I yell, hey? Like, does that help?
What were the other passengers doing as they saw that the plane was lilting like
they
that?
They were holding on for dear life because it was really moving left, right, hard.
That's
and
scary.
You were worried about the angle at which you were coming in on the runway and you might actually crash.
But he landed it fine. It would have been bad if I distracted him and we crashed, though, by yelling, hey.
Was that the closest you ever came to, you feel like, being on a plane that crashed?
Yeah, I was pretty sure it was going to.
Yeah.
But I don't know why. Just, hey.
Let me...
anything.
That's an odd response.
Let me give out the phone number if you want to call. Tell us the scariest flight you were ever on. What happened and how certain were you that you were going to die at 1-800-520-1067. Remember the scene in Almost Famous?
Oh,
where
sure.
They hit all that turbulence and they all thought they were going to die and the drummer yells out, "I'm gay!" Because he had to get it off his chest before he died. And then 5 seconds later, the turbulence just smoothed out. Everybody's just sitting there looking at him.
I'm going to need that clip, Muggs.
Okay. Spoiler alert, by the way. If you haven't seen Almost Famous yet, it's an awesome Cameron Crowe movie. Beer Mug, it didn't happen to you, but it happened to a loved one. What happened?
Well, Nicole Alvarez, who's deathly afraid of flying as it is already, on landing, takeoff, she does...
She travels all the time.
She travels all the time. You know, the weird thing is she also skydives, which...
What?
So,
well, this is no longer making sense.
Well, I know. It makes no sense. So she was on a flight, I think, to Miami, and she was by herself sitting next to a stranger. She took a nap, and she wakes up to this guy tapping on her in the seat next to her and telling her...
On her arm?
On her arm.
Yeah.
Hopefully it was on her arm.
Yeah.
Saying, you need to put your oxygen mask on. All the oxygen masks had fallen from the ceiling.
No.
You know, the put yours on before you put the children one.
How was she still asleep? Was there a giant... was there a giant drop in altitude, or did...
No, the cabin just lost pressure.
Oh, I see.
It lost cabin pressure, so she's freaking out. Everybody had to put their masks on. And I've never been on a plane where all the oxygen
Me
masks...
Either.
So that wouldn't help matter. So that cemented her fear of flying even more.
And that's
scary.
Why she only now flies 4 days a week instead of seven.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Before we go to your calls, and Erica, we're going to get to you first up, so please hang on at 1-800-520-1067. Listen to this news report of a story that just happened last week. Talk about a scary flight for these people.
An unruly passenger pulled off a Sacramento-bound plane after causing a disturbance in the air.
That plane leaving Chicago for Sacramento had to make an emergency landing in Nebraska after a person tried opening the back hatch of the aircraft. The person who tried opening the hatch was acting strangely before the incident ever took place. Well, the man was getting up, sitting down, he got up again, and that's when he tried opening the back hatch. And one of those passengers took matters into his own hand. He actually took that man down and held him on the ground until the pilot made an emergency landing in Omaha. Once on the ground, police and TSA agents took that man off the plane in handcuffs.
Dude tried to open the back door.
Oh, my God.
Which you can't do on a plane that's moving, right?
I don't know.
A passenger cannot open up. I think the pilot has to release the hatches.
I don't want passenger trying, is my point.
Well, so many people on the plane were upset that some were fainting, many were nauseated, many were crying. So that must have been a terrifying thing. Even if the guy couldn't really do any harm, the fact you've got a crazy person yelling and who has to be restrained in the aisle, I mean, that's upsetting when you're flying. Look, post 9/11, nobody ever wants to see passengers getting up to hold another dude down on a plane, right?
All right, let's go to Erica real quick. 1-800-520-1067. Scariest flight you were ever on. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What's going on, Erica?
No problem. Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I was 13, and I was on my first flight visiting family to Hungary all by myself, and we were flying over the Hudson Bay in Canada. When the pilot gets on, we were halfway over, and he goes, we've been leaking fuel. Don't quite know how much we have left. We're going to turn this plane around and see where we can get you guys landed. Everyone is screaming, and the plane is just doing these really weird mechanical things. We end up getting to Manitoba, Canada, like where everyone goes to see the polar bears, and we're circling around a deserted runway. People are screaming. The captain said, all right, get your head between your legs. Get ready. We're going to try to land this plane. And we barely made it. Ended up landing. It was one of the most frightening things.
Wow.
It was, yeah.
That's legitimate terror there, though, Erica. You were allowed to be frightened by the plane, the pilot coming on and saying, we don't know if we have enough fuel to make it somewhere to land.
Yeah, and I had to call my parents at 3 in the morning in Canada saying, hey, I'm in Canada. So I think they were kind of freaked out because I was alone. But I fly for a living now.
What?
I'm in sales, so I definitely take my Xanax before I get on a plane.
No kidding. Thank you very much for the call, my dear. We appreciate it. Wow. What? I know people can't help it, but all the other passengers on the plane screaming doesn't help make the situation less stress-free.
No, not at all.
Not at all. So stop it.
So don't do that.
All right, Cameron, Kyle, Vanessa, Monica, you guys hang on. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. We're having some fun now, aren't we?
Yes, we are.
Talking about the terror-filled skies of air travel. Talking about the scariest flight you were ever on. That guy who was held down by other passengers trying to open the rear door of the airplane while it's in flight on a flight last week from Chicago to Sacramento. By the way, a frequent Kevin and Bean listener and contributor Omar writes in, hey, what about that one lady you talked about who kept screaming, God is my savior, God is my savior, God is my savior. Remember she was convinced the plane was going down?
Yeah, mm-hmm. And she was screaming that for, what did he say, 45 minutes?
Yes, she was just praying out loud, which can't make the other people on the plane feel good.
I think I actually have.
God, my savior!
So that's you're my savior, and then she goes into it.
God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior! God, you're my savior!
She's been freaking out for the last 20 minutes. She started off by telling everyone to pray for her mother who just passed away. Then she went up and down the aisles telling everyone to pray for her mother.
That is not what you want.
That's not a good flight. That's not good.
That's a bad flight.
Hey, speaking of bad flights, give me my man Kyle, please. He's on line 3. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Scariest flight you were ever on. Kyle, you're on.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. It's me. How are you guys?
Good morning.
Hi, good.
Hey, so I was on a flight, and about 5 minutes in, we drop out of the sky and bank so hard to the left that as I look out the window, I can see the ground straight below us.
Oh, man.
Wow.
The pilot corrects the plane, gets back on the intercom 5 minutes later, and says, I apologize, but we were set on the same flight path as another plane and almost came up and hit the bottom of the plane above us.
Oh, my God. So when you're making all those kind of evasive moves and everything like that, what does that do to all the passengers who are being thrown around on the plane?
Luckily, it was so early, we were all still buckled in, but everyone was still rocking and rolling pretty good. Everyone was so nervous for the rest of the flight. No one slept, and my brother threw up everywhere.
All right, you know what throwing up is, Kevin. We don't need to sound that. All right, good times. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to line 8. Let's talk to Phil. You talk about scary flights. Hi, Phil. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, good morning, guys. Lisa May.
Good morning.
What happened?
So I was on a flight from L.A. to San Jose about a year ago, and literally less than 30 seconds before landing, the pilot just guns the throttle, tosses you back into the seat, and we start climbing aggressively away from the airport. And I'd been on a few flights where that's happened in the past where, you know, you don't line up for the runway correctly or they get a gust of wind. So no one's really panicking at this point. And I'm sitting in the fourth row on the aisle, and all of a sudden the flight attendant comes racing past me. The cockpit door swings open, and she jumps past the pilot into his seat, and he comes racing out of the cockpit down the aisle towards the back of the plane.
What? Where was he going?
So he went to, I think it was roughly the center of the plane, and started pulling people out of the emergency exit row and pulling up pieces of the carpet to check to confirm that our landing gear was down.
Why? What? And how did the flight attendant moved into the pilot seat?
Yeah, I
that seems like the worst part of it.
I guess you need to have somebody up there to.
Well, of course.
Well, wasn't there a co-pilot? But... Well, couldn't the co-pilot get in the pilot seat and then she would get in his?
No, I don't know.
Did you run out of breath for that?
I did.
Totally. You literally didn't have enough breath to finish.
That is so. Obviously, you're on the phone talking to me now, so it probably landed fine. Everybody was okay.
Yeah, we did. There were fire trucks and emergency vehicles waiting. And I was one of the first ones off the plane, and I kind of do the, you know, you peek your head in the cockpit and just kind of see what was going on and gave kind of a nod to the co-pilot, and he just looked straight past me and with both hands wiped the sweat off of his face.
Oh, my God.
Totally white.
That's fantastic.
His poor shirt was just soaked all the way through.
And by fantastic, you mean scary as hell.
Yeah. Scary as hell. Thank you so much, Phil, for the call. I know we're running late. Let's talk to Monica real quick on line five, just because, Kevin, you haven't brought this up yet, but your plan has always been, in the event of a plane going down, you're going to try to find the hottest chick on board and see if you guys can have sex one last time before you die.
Yeah, if it's over, I'm going to try and play that card.
Absolutely. Look, we only have 5 minutes to live. Let's go out with a bang.
We can do it twice.
Monica, you were in a similar situation. What happened on your flight?
Hi, Kevin B. Hi, Lisa. Yeah, I was on my way back from Vegas to Ontario. All kinds of turbulence. Grown men screaming and yelping. And one of the guys that I thought was cute early on in the flight was actually had his head between his knees, gripping the chair in front of him, screaming, and indentations actually in the seat.
Really?
Oh my gosh.
Not so cute then.
And then, no. And the ladies next to me that were sitting next to me, it's probably like a mom and a daughter, closed their eyes, praying, what I can only assume was praying, just crazy praying very quickly. I actually leaned over towards them because I thought if anybody's going to get saved in this plane, it's probably going to be them. So I'm going to try to get in on that action.
Sure. Now, did you think about, hey, I have 20 minutes to live. Maybe that cute guy and I can get something going?
No, I was just happy that it happened on the way back from Vegas and I at least had the weekend. And it's
that's a good way to look at it.
All right.
So
that's
full,
a good way to
look
at it.
Glass half full. Nicely done.
Thank you, Monica. Congratulations, Oscar Vargas from San Fernando. Got tickets in the second row.
Nice.
To see Arcade Fire. Your chance to win is coming up. Keep listening.
Not as cool as the people who win the front row seats tomorrow, but still, I mean, you can see the band from the second row, I guess.
Yeah. All right. I'm glad Dr. Drew Pinsky is on the line. Of course, Coast of Loveline, along with Mike Catherwood here on KROQ, and Dr. Drew on call, HLN, Monday through Friday nights at 6, because we got to put a stop to Lisa May. We've got to just stop her in tracks, because she is the latest in a long line of Hollywood douchebags who say, no, I must stay away from gluten because one person gets sick from gluten, so now nobody can eat gluten. Dr. Drew, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you?
Thank you, Ben.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Look, hear my whole thing. Stop it.
Shouldn't we talk about my whole thing?
My whole thing
not
is
your
stop
whole
it.
Thing?
What's
right.
your whole thing? Tell the doctor, because we agreed earlier this morning that Dr. Drew is the best doctor in the world because he's on TV, and they wouldn't put him on TV if he weren't the best doctor in the world. So he's going to rule, Lisa, on whether you are just Hollywood sheep here with your non-gluten.
First, I want to say that when I say I'm not eating gluten, I'm not suggesting that I go out and eat all those gluten-free products that are now in the stores.
Well,
that stuff
a given.
Is BS.
Okay. Wow.
And it's terrible for you. When I say I'm not eating gluten, I mean I'm not eating wheat, right? I'm not eating bread anymore for several reasons. One, because it spikes insulin. And when I ate bread, I had terrible cravings all the time for things that are sweet. There's something in bread, and Dr. Drew can tell us more about that probably, that actually you're not full from it and you get hungry later. It doesn't really fill you up. But here's the other thing.
Hold the other thing. Dr. Drew, what do you think about the first thing?
I'm so happy to hear Lisa describe this way. I'm ruling in her favor so far.
Well, then you're not the last word.
All right, Lisa, what's the other thing?
So Dr. William Davis, this cardiologist, wrote a book called Wheat Belly. And what he discovered with his patients was that when he pulled them off grains, they had good weight loss. Their blood sugar levels stopped spiking. They felt better. So that's why I think that wheat is probably not great.
Let me interrupt and say Lisa's not telling us the gluten story. She's really telling us the carbohydrate and bread story, which is actually much more, I don't want to say rational so much as substantiated phenomenon. And particularly people with metabolic syndrome. She's already talked about insulin resistance and insulin spiking. For people with this sort of central obesity and hypertension, high cholesterol, and insulin resistance, this is probably a very smart strategy. It's not necessary, but she's absolutely right. I'm in the same camp, I'm sorry to say, and so I'm very sympathetic. sympathetic to Lisa's situation is that whenever I come off breads, which I love breads.
I do too.
Like me and Lisa, we love them. And we come off them, we have a full opiate withdrawal. We get irritable, agitated, depressed, preoccupied, can't sleep right. And it's an opioid system that's activated for us, not for everybody, but for us. And it is that that causes our further cravings for more. And you have to cold turkey it like any other opiate.
Where does gluten fit into this? Is that
gluten's a different story? And
I'd
love to stay away from it because gluten sensitive enteropathy is something that I used to see in training. You know, we could biopsy the small bowel. You'd see inflammatory, or you'd see infection. Actually, there's something called Whipple's disease. You know, we can actually document it. Then all of a sudden, it became generalized to all kinds of circumstances. And people say they feel better when they eliminate gluten. Fine, fantastic, but why does everybody have to announce it when they're gluten-free on one hand? And Lisa, I bet gluten-free products aren't as satisfying to you, and so you'd rather cut out carbohydrates altogether.
Well, I don't eat them because they're not good for you. Now you're eating, like, tapioca starch and potato starch. I mean, the idea is to get off of all that stuff.
Those are two of the staples of my diet.
Right. It's not it's to put in fruits and vegetables, lean meats. It's not to increase... to just switch over to other kinds of cookies.
Real, so-called real foods.
Right.
Fruits, vegetables, that kind of thing. And I absolutely agree with you. However, what I've noticed in people that have this carbohydrate thing like you and me is that we don't like gluten-free food. It's somehow not as satisfying, so we might as well cut the whole thing out.
That's true.
But there are people that can tolerate the carbs but can't tolerate the gluten, and they swear they're vastly improved with it. And most gastroenterologists today kind of shrug and go, okay.
But the impression that I get... The impression that I get, Dr. Drew, is that the vast majority of people who are now trying to live gluten-free are doing it because it's hip and not because they really have, like, what's that, celiac disease? Those are the people who really, really can't eat gluten. Most people are just doing it because it's the trendy thing to do now.
I mean, think how many crazy diets we've been through in the last 20 years.
Well, it changes all the time. First, it's calories. Then, oh, don't worry about calories. Then it's fat. Oh, don't worry about fat grams. Now it's good fat and bad fat. And they change every single time.
There's something that's happened with gluten, though, because wheat today is not the wheat of 50 years ago because of crossbreeding and hybridization. They've tried to make drought-resistant wheat. They've changed wheat, and they've increased the amount of gluten in wheat. There's also more gluten in all the packaged products that we eat than we ate like 20, 30 years ago. So we are more exposed to gluten than we have ever been before.
You're right. We don't know whether that makes a difference or not. It might. You're onto something there.
Could it be an antigenic food, though, that creates an immune response?
Calm it down,
Lisa. Now you're going downstream to stuff that has not really been proven yet, but people are theorizing about that. But it's interesting. Kevin, you guys remember the day. We were all broadcasting the day when people were advocating eating more carbohydrates and pastas. Remember that?
Absolutely.
Right. And then we got fat.
Yeah, the pasta diet, right.
Well, but people would argue about that. And so let's all of us just talk more about the effects of placebo and being more rational, more sort of reasoned and balanced. We need exercise. We need real foods, fruits, and vegetables. We need less carbohydrates, less meat. We need to be reasonable, all of us.
Okay.
And not so fad-oriented and really move more, eat less, that's for sure.
Dr. Drew, can we tell Lisa to shut up about gluten, though? That's what Bean and I are looking for.
I don't sit here and talk to
that's
you about it.
That's what Bean and I are looking for.
Lisa, do you think for a second that if I tell them anything, they'll stop telling you to shut up?
No.
Absolutely
not.
No matter what we say.
Right. I would just like to say, by the way, that I'm eating more carbohydrates and more pasta and more cereals and all that stuff, but I'm looking at it like I'm carbo-loading because one day I am going to get so active, you can't even believe how much energy my body is going to need. I just am storing that up for several years before I pull the trigger on it.
Good.
Good plan. Yeah. See, Dr. Drew signed off on it.
He does know.
Loveline, 5 nights a week, Sunday through Thursday nights at 10 with his friend Mike Catherwood. Also, Dr. Drew on call on HLN and the fine family of Dr. Drew podcast at drdrew.com and podcast1.com. Thanks, Doc. We'll talk to you next time.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Wasn't there a co-pilot? Well, couldn't the co-pilot get in the pilot seat and then she would get in his seat?
No, I don't know.
Did you run out of breath for that?
That was a moment with Lisa May.
She really take a breath.
And then she could get it.
If you had a little bread, maybe you'd have the energy to finish that sentence.
By the way,
speaking of Miss Gluten USA, listen to this email from Mike. Hey, it's time to declare Lisa a Putin sympathizer and a hippie enemy of America. Too bad J. Edgar Hoover isn't alive today because she'd be on the list. Wheat helped build America and the freedom she takes for granted just like a communist, right?
USA! 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 USA!
Lisa is all kinds of bad today. Oh, all right. My God. Comedian Brett Gelman joins us in studio. Coming up next after the top of the hour. First, the Rouse got the showbiz beat here on a Thursday. What's shaking?
Oh.
What's shaking?
You know that horrible accident that happened on the set of the movie Midnight Rider where that camera assistant was struck by the train they were shooting on the tracks?
Yeah.
This production is cursed. It's not going well. They have another setback. They already stopped production because of the death. And now there's going to be a bigger delay because William Hurt, who was to have played Greg Allman in this movie later in his life, has left the production. He's quit the movie.
Wow.
Hurt was in the scene that was being filmed when the accident occurred. He was doing a dream sequence on a bed that was placed on the train tracks. And he complained at the time they had about 60 seconds to get off this bridge when the train started coming. And he said, it's not enough time. And no one backed me up, he says, in an email that was obtained by the Los Angeles Times. We just went ahead, and he said they didn't have 60 seconds. They had less than 30 seconds, and that's why that girl died. And
wow.
The producers now have to search for a replacement for an actor to play Greg Allman in this biography of the Allman Brothers. So, cursed. Cursed production. He was the ghost. The ghost of one of the Allman Brothers. Are they dead?
I think so.
Dwayne is. Remember, Dwayne died on that motorcycle accident. He was like 22 or something.
Ghost of Dwayne. Dwayne Ghost. There's going to be a third Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants movie.
All right.
Woo.
USA!
Woo.
USA!
Woo. Woo. Producers say they'll be basing the movie on Sisterhood Everlasting, the fifth book in the series. It takes place 10 years after the fourth novel in the series to show what's happened to our favorites, Bridget, Lena, Carmen, and Tibby.
Those are the names?
There's a Tibby. Oh, I know there's a Tibby.
Fire,
yeah,
fire,
really.
Fire,
was that anything, those movies? Did anybody watch those?
I did not.
There were people in them, though, right?
Yeah.
It's
America Ferrera is
like
one of
America Ferrera was in it. And I believe, who's the girl we love? From
Amber Tamblyn.
Amber Tamblyn.
He's one of the stars of those films.
Yeah. So I guess there's an audience.
My little friend Rachel Nichols was in one of them, too, by the way.
Oh!
I'd watch all of those people in other movies.
Congratulations to Lupita Nyong'o.
Kevin's housekeeper?
No. She, of course, was the star of 12 Years a Slave. She is gracing the cover of People Magazine's Most Beautiful issue. She has been named the most beautiful actress by People Magazine. This is awesome because, famously, she grew up thinking that she was hideous. She thought that light skin and flowing straight hair was the only way you could be beautiful. She said her mother always told her she was beautiful, and I guess she said, finally, I started believing her at some point, but she always, as a little girl, wanted to be lighter skinned and have straighter hair. But now here she is on the cover of a magazine being touted as most beautiful. It's kind of
and
a nice story.
And she won an Oscar
she
as well, right?
For 12 years, Best Supporting Actress, yeah.
And I know she mentioned that, you know, those self-image problems that she had growing up, and it didn't seem like it was just a rote speech. It seemed like she genuinely meant it. It was emotional when she talked about her journey.
Other ladies that made the list for 2014, Kerry Washington.
Yes.
Of course, from Scandal. Stacey Keibler.
Yeah, nothing wrong there.
Molly Sims. Gabrielle Union, Amber Heard, Jenna Dewan Tatum, Kerry Russell.
I like the choice of how many bells each gets.
Pink.
Kerry Russell is a communist, by the way. Let's remember that.
TV show.
Fighting for Russia.
TV show on the Americans. She plays a Soviet agent.
It's not real.
Pink. And then the whole list goes out the window. Mindy Kaling.
Really?
Oh, she's funny.
But the issue isn't funniest people.
She's pretty.
Okay, Lisa.
Well, I mean,
she is pretty.
She's fine.
I watch Mindy.
She's fine. I think she's fine. I don't think she should be on the list of the most beautiful, but she's.
No.
I'd say she's pretty.
Yeah.
Wow, that's more generous than you usually are, Kevin.
How dare you? I'm a kind-hearted person.
I mean, she's more of a
She's got more regular girl looks, yeah. I think, than some of the others on that list. But that doesn't mean a regular girl can't be attractive.
Can't be the most beautiful girl?
Well, that may be stretching it a little bit.
Just saying. People Magazine most beautiful issue. Just saying.
Yeah. Is Don on the phone?
Get Don on the phone. Because this is all some BS right now. And you think show business is all, oh, riches and glory and fame and fortune and, oh, I have coffers and coffers of gold doubloons in my house because I am a movie star.
That seems to be the case.
No, sir! I found this shocking. Star of all the Meet the Parents movies, Meet the Fockers and Fockers and Crackers and all
those
Fockers.
I don't think that was one.
It was. Fockers, Fockers with Loafers. All those Fockers movies.
Okay.
And the Fosters TV series, Terry Polo, has just filed for bankruptcy.
No.
She's got a series on the air right now. She's nearly $1 million in debt. And she owes the IRS $750,000. Madness.
That's crazy.
She only claims to have about $50,000 in assets, so she will be clearing bankruptcy. Sad news.
Look, you've told us before, Ralph, that the vast majority, the overwhelming majority of members of the Screen Actors Guild make less than $50,000 a year, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Or was the number even lower than that? It was less than $10,000 a year or something. I mean, most actors don't work.
I think it's only 5% of the SAG rank and file are working at any given time, by the way.
That's wow. Crazy.
So 95% of actors who have union cards are unemployed at any given
time. So moment. Even if you're a recognizable actress like Terry Polo is, it doesn't mean you have steady work coming in.
Right. And it sounds like she may have some bad spending habits.
Yeah, right? That's could be part of it, too.
Oh, good idea. I'm out of time, and I got a great story to tell you about George Clooney and Steve Wynn getting into a fight.
That's a good one.
It is a good one. I'll get to it next hour. Come back and see me, won't you? Or you can stick around, I guess.
Stick around. If you wanted to. Why would you just come back? Stick
well, I'm
around.
Just saying.
Right.
Yeah. Just make an appointment. Just make an appointment. Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine Webb. She's 25 years old today. Singer and bassist Tyson Ritter of All American Rejects is 30. Kelly Clarkson! He's 32 years old. Austin Nichols is 34. Eric Balfour, 37 years old. Melinda Clark is 45. Jamin Huntsu is 50. Cedric the Entertainer, also 50 years old today. And David J., bassist from Love and Rockets and Bauhaus, he's 57. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Let me tell you why we're excited to have Mr. Brett Gelman in studio with us right now on the Kevin DeMean Show. Hi, Brett, by the way.
Oh, hi.
Listen to what Brett's been on, okay?
Okay.
Tell me if this isn't all of our favorite stuff.
All right.
Garfunkel and Oates, Kroll Show, The League, NTSF, SDSUV, Drunk History, Comedy Bang Bang, The Office, Life and Times of Tim, Bored to Death, Curb Your Enthusiasm. It just goes that's, on and on and on.
That's my DVR.
I know, right? Brett, you're funny and whatnot.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I mean, likewise, of course, means so much coming from you guys.
Well, thank it's you. Our pleasure to have you. And we are excited to talk about your new show, which is called our new special so far. Hopefully it'll be a series because it looks amazing, called Dinner with Friends with Brett Gelman and Friends.
That's right. That's right.
Sounds like a title that was translated from another language into English.
Well, I just, you know, I really want to hit home that I have friends.
Right. You
know,
you sure
I
do.
Wasn't a very popular guy in high school. So, you know, it's important to constantly acknowledge in my adult life that I have friends.
Yeah. How many times did people go, are you aware that you used friends twice here within the four words?
Everyone.
Okay.
Yeah. No,
did
but
you
again.
Get the typo?
No, I just, you know, I told them, I said, please, you know, don't take any of those friends out of the title.
Right.
I can't take this for granted.
Now, if I were watching this show, which, by the way, premieres tonight at midnight on Adult Swim.
On Adult Swim.
Right.
That's right.
If I were watching that with the sound down, I would think, oh, this is a celebrity chat show. With the sound up, it's a terrifying horror movie.
Yeah, yeah. And the farther you go in the show, the more it becomes clear that it's a terrifying horror movie.
All right, what are you trying to do here, Brett? What's the goal here?
The goal with this? To get famous, baby. No. we want to, you know, we had this idea for a few years. Jason Wallner, who co-wrote it and co-created and directed it. And, you know, we just wanted to go all out and we wanted to do something that kind of blurred the line between comedy and horror.
So the premise is similar to that show that Jon Favreau used to do that we loved called Dinner with Five or something like that. This premise is you invite celebrity friends over and you guys just have a conversation of famous people telling stories at dinner time. However, it's not that at all. You basically hold them hostage and terrify them and make their lives miserable.
Yeah, it quickly turns from Jon Favreau's Dinner for Five into The Shining, you know, really fast.
Okay.
Brett, where does your, and we're going to play a clip in a moment here, you'll see what we mean, but where does your intensity come from? Because even though we know you're being funny in a lot of the roles that you're on, you're still such a scary mofo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah, you know, a lot of sexual frustration, I think. Mm.
Your whole life?
Actually, well, no, just pre-25, but 25, you know, I was a late bloomer. I really hit the ground running. Where does the fear from? I mean, I guess from being in showbiz, you know, you got to be scary sometimes, right? I mean, you got these
I've never heard
roaming
that.
Around.
I've never heard that about showbiz.
Oh, you haven't? That's weird. No, that's a weird thing to say.
I haven't heard
Oh, yeah,
that about
yeah, yeah. No, 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 no. You know, it's just acting. It's just acting.
There you go.
Forget everything I said.
It is weird, though, because you walk in today and you seem like a very personable person, a very pleasant man.
Oh,
you smile,
thank you.
You shake hands, you make eye contact. You're kind
I'm
of.
I'm a mensch. I'm a mensch.
You're kind of the opposite of the Brett Gelman you play on this show.
Well, you know, I save it all for that, which is good.
Right.
I'd rather be doing it on the show than in my life. You know, I don't want to, you know, hack somebody to death at the car wash. That would be negative.
I think you're right. That falls in the negative half of the spectrum.
For them and for me. I go to prison. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I wouldn't do well there.
No, you'd be popular, though.
I'd be popular, and I would let myself be popular. If it's between being...
Pass me around.
Yeah, oh, yeah. If it's between that and getting shivved in the shower, give me that popularity any day of the week.
How did you pick your fellow cast members / dinner guests for Dinner with Friends?
Well, a lot of them are some of my favorite... I mean, they're all some of my favorite actors. You know, well, a few of them, no. I'm just kidding. No, they're all... Some of my favorite actors, I mean, Fred Melamed, I saw in The Coen Brothers, A Serious Man, and Alison Pill, in addition to The Newsroom, has been in so many great films, done so many great performances in Milk, and, you know, Scott Pilgrim, and I love Alex Karpovsky and Girls, Lance Reddick, I'm a huge, huge Wire fan, and Dale Dickey, I love, and Winter's Bone, and True Blood, and Gilbert Gottfried. I mean, what can I say?
He just makes every party
legend.
Better.
Yeah.
What was the pitch to them? How do you pitch this show?
Well, we sat down over drinks downtown in downtown Los Angeles, and we said, hey, we want to do this Dinner for Five type of show that becomes a complete mess, you know, complete violent mess by the end. And they were down.
They were all good with that.
Adult Swim is not afraid to
Correct.
Push the envelope.
That's true.
Yeah.
Some of the best programming is on Adult Swim.
I agree.
Since it's on Adult Swim, the show is 11 minutes. How long did they give you for the dinner?
No, they gave me a half hour.
Wow, that's like
minutes.
A mini-series on Adult Swim.
Yeah. I know.
that's a 10-episode commitment right there if they gave you a half hour.
I mean, they must really like me, which, you know, I'm not used to. I'm not used to, you know. It's a wonderful thing. What can I say?
All right, let's play this clip before the break. Brett Gelman is our guest here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about Adult Swim's Dinner with Friends. It's going to be on tonight, and you'll get an idea of how quickly things turn horrible for the guests that were invited.
I'm going to start my own post office. You know, give the community another option. I've got it all figured out. Instead of stamps, I'm going to call them scrams. What do you think, Lance?
I don't think post office is actually doing too well right now.
Which makes this the perfect opportunity for me and my scramps to swoop in and shut them down. Plus, we're not only going to mail letters, we're going to do emails, too.
And I guess you can call them screamails.
Allison, what have you been up to lately?
Oh, I just finished shooting a movie.
Stop!
Okay, all right. That just got weird.
Yeah.
Stop!
That's when it gets really weird, and it goes downhill from there. Goes
Brett
right
Gelman is here. We'll talk more about Dinner with Friends when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Writer and actor Brett Gelman in studio with us here. His new show is called Dinner with Friends with Brett Gelman and Friends, and it airs on Adult Swim tonight at midnight.
Yeah.
And you're Mr. Adult Swim, too, because you're doing the Eagle Heart over there. That's still on, right? Eagle Heart?
It is. I don't know if there's going to be a fourth season, but yeah, I did three seasons of that, and you know they're still deciding that. But I'm just
I love that. I love that you keep getting cast as slow or terrifying or sexually frustrated people. I mean, you must really the vibe you must emit when you walk into a casting call. They must be, oh, that's our guy right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, no, they see me. They're like, oh, this guy's really flawed in so many ways.
Fantastic. Let's cast him.
Yeah.
Now, because of your beard, and it's one of the best in Hollywood, do a lot of people think you're homeless, Brad?
It depends on what I'm wearing, you know, at what hour of the day I'm out walking my dog.
It's a pretty neat beard.
It's a pretty neat beard. Yeah, it's not like it's unruly.
No, but sometimes it goes awry, though.
It does go awry. It does go awry. I mean, I think tonight I'm also in the show Bad Teacher that's coming out on CBS.
Oh, and no kidding.
On that I let it grow, and I watched some of the dailies, and I look disgusting. I look awful.
We just had David Alan Grier in here talking about that show.
Yeah, I love David.
Who are you? He's hilarious. Who are you on Bad Teacher? Who do you play on Bad Teacher?
I am in a few episodes. I'm Mr. Piloff, the very strange math teacher.
Another a weirdo.
Yeah.
Another weirdo.
A total weirdo. Yeah. Mr. K from Go On with a Bigger Beard.
Okay. All right. Hey, you're making it work for you. Yeah. So Dinner with Friends is tonight.
It is.
And then you have another TV show called Married coming out, where you again star with some of the best people in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it was created by a guy named Andrew Gerland, who's, you know, he's a total genius. And it stars Nat Faxon, Judy Greer, Jenny Slate, and me.
Awesome.
Oh, nice cast.
Yeah.
What a great cast.
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And it's super fun. I mean, it's all about these four people. I mean, Nat and Judy are the main stars of it, and they are this married couple, and Jenny and I are Nat's best friends. And we're all really messed up. You know, it's about these four people living in L.A. who just their lives are a tornado. But they love each other. They love each other. And there's great guest stars on. We got Paul Reiser and John Hodgman on it.
Nice.
Just a lot of great people coming
in. When is that coming out?
It's coming out sometime in July. There's not a set date for it yet.
Does that worry you at all? July. There's no set date.
Just, you know, July.
A lot of people will say this. You don't, you know, nothing is happening until it's happening. So I guess anything could happen. I really love that word, happen and happening. I like to say it a lot. But, yeah.
When you see it, you'll believe it.
I mean, they ordered a whole series. I imagine that they'll air it. No, FX is really happy with it. They're really happy with it. They've been
are
really
you surprised?
Supportive.
A lot of comedians in particular, and I guess you're technically not a comedian, but a lot of people who do the kind of work you do have very low self-esteem. So are you one of those people, and are you surprised at how successful you are and how much great work you're able to do right now in show business?
Well, fortunately, self-esteem has nothing to do with work ethic. So, you know, you can put that aside as you crank out what you're doing, you know. I don't think I have a – I guess it depends on the day, my self-esteem, you know. Sometimes it's high and sometimes it's low. But I guess maybe if it's sometimes low, then it's always subconsciously low. I don't know. What do you think about that?
That's too deep for me.
it's too early for that.
I have to marinate on that one for
man,
a while.
Oh, man. Yeah. I hope, you know, some people are, whew.
Well, I guess I kind of look at our situation, and we're frankly surprised every day that they invite us back to do another radio show. You know what I mean? Like, it's like at some point they're going to wise up and realize, wow, we could do better. And I wonder if that's part of being a performer, is that you kind of always feel that way a little bit. I mean, I can't imagine ever getting to the point where I think, man, I deserve this and I own this and I'm the best at this. I can't imagine ever feeling like that.
Yeah. Well, those are the worst people, though, that think they deserve something.
That's true. Those people suck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That is very true.
I hate when somebody thinks they deserve something. What do you deserve, huh? There's people, you know, starving, right?
People with real problems. Yeah.
So, But I feel really lucky. I guess, you know, we ride that luck, right? We ride
I guess so.
Our good fortunes with gratitude, right?
You just try to get away with it as long as you can. That's what you keep.
I know,
you just keep showing up. That's half the battle.
Baby, it's a hustle.
Dinner with Friends with Brett Gelman and friends. So we need everybody to tune in and watch it at midnight tonight on Adult Swim, because if you do well enough, then they let you make more. Is that how it works?
They do, yeah. I mean, they're very supportive. They don't necessarily they don't ride the ratings like that. If they like something, they put it up. But I want a lot of people to see it, and so do they. So
I guess they do allow Eric Andre on, so they pretty much let anything go. I mean, that's got to be the baseline low point.
How
right?
dare you? That is a genius show.
Of television.
You don't like that show? You don't like that show?
I'm just stunned.
Because it's so insane.
I'm stunned beyond anything that that's on the air.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, of all the shows, that's the one I really can't figure out how enough people like it to keep it on.
Well, Eric goes for it, you know? Eric goes
he does.
For it,
I mean, he actively wants you to hate everything about his show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, it's
the same
like,
with Comedy Bang Bang. It's just nonsense.
Yeah, it's a bunch of stuff. That, they're both talk shows that have had complete nervous breakdowns. Right. But I love that. I love that stuff. I mean, I guess that's kind of what my thing is, too. But it's a little different.
And that's why, in some ways, I mean, and this is not a joke, it really is kind of a golden age of comedy in that there are enough outlets, you know, like your show on FX and the show on Adult Swim. There are enough places now where you can go and do comedy that you don't have to win over all of America. Everybody doesn't have to watch. You only need a small group that you make happy, and
like
that's great.
50% of America.
It's crazy. It's crazy. But, I mean, the benefit of being on Adult Swim is I think they in cable, the males from 18 to 34 tune into Adult Swim more than any other cable network.
Yeah, I believe it. I believe it too.
It's shooting right at the guy smoking pot.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
Right there.
Dudes get home at 10, get high, and go, what do I want to watch? Oh, the craziest thing I've ever seen on television.
Well, we're excited about that tonight, and I just am seeing a note here that you also have a podcast on iTunes. I'll have to check that out. That's called Gelmania?
It's called Gelmania, yeah.
Okay, how often do you do that, Brett?
I do it on and off. I'm going to be releasing it weekly again in the next couple weeks, and it's also totally insane.
Fantastic. Yeah. Can't wait. So glad you came in, man. Continued success, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 941.
Keep on listening to good old K-Rock for your Arcade Fire tickets in the second row for their show August 1st or 2nd at the Forum. I think tickets are going on sale for everyone who's not a K-Rock Street team member who already got theirs tomorrow at 10. And then tomorrow, front row seats right here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Ralph Grammer, what's going on?
Don't make me go back in there. Don't make me go back in the office, please.
Why is it so cold in there?
It's in the 50s now.
In the 50s?
Yeah, after we turned off the thermostat. So that nothing should be happening.
You understand the thermostat is not connected to anything then, right?
What's the point of having a thermostat in an office?
Just fool you. Make you think you have some control.
Dave's dead, which is bad.
Aw. It's in the 50s.
Wasn't a cold that killed him, but an icicle came flying out of the vent and speared him right in the neck.
How about the Sherpas? Did we lose some of those in an avalanche?
Sherpas are gone.
Yeah.
Chip now is threatening to cut open beer mug and crawl inside him for warmth. Like a tauntaun.
Are you exaggerating when you say 50s?
No!
It's the ice planet Hoth in there.
It's the polar vortex. Equinox, or whatever the hell it is. Polar vortex in the office.
Why can't
there's a cold front and a warm front that have collided over the ceiling, and now it's hailing.
All right, but here's a serious question, though. There must be cold air being pumped in from somewhere, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming it's called an air conditioner.
Okay, so happening. And there's no way to turn that off.
Right. Apparently not. But everywhere else in the building is quite temperate. Congratulations, everyone else.
Just our office.
You know who's not freezing his ass off right now? Carson freaking Daly. He's nice and warm. What the hell? What?
I can't imagine. That seems like a malfunction somehow.
50s.
Yeah. Just been increasingly decreasing all morning long, the temperature.
Are they trying to run us out, do you think?
I think so. I think there's some sort of labor busting going on or something. They're going to bring in the Pinkerton men and start hitting us with clubs.
And how do you like it at home? Well, like, what's your ideal thermostat number?
Me, I'm a 74 guy.
Ooh, wow.
That's 374.
This is significant, then.
So I like to live my life. But we're in low 70s.
Yeah. And you will tolerate 68 or whatever it normally is.
Ugh.
But this is
now. Oh, wait, then 68's getting cold.
68's cold.
But this, now we're 10 degrees below that.
I don't like
back,
going
though.
Under 70. 70 is really just perfect. 72? Right. Didn't they say 72 is like room temperature? It's the perfect room temperature?
It is for me.
But 60's cold. Uh-huh. And now under 60?
Yeah, that's hurting. That's hurting for
me. I lost a finger. Frostbite. That's all I know. I'm working with 9 fingers now.
How long has it been this way?
Well,
is it just this week?
Off and on all week long.
Huh. Seems like somebody somewhere should be able to do something.
Not according to the staff here at K-Rock. Inexplicable. Look, I know summer's coming, but what are you trying to do? Put us in suspended animation?
We're not in a wheel well of a plane to Hawaii.
That's right. I feel like Captain America. Someone has to thaw me out and fill me in on the past 60 years.
Well, you've been in this room long enough. You got a little color back in your face.
I feel
face,
better
so
now. No,
let's
I can
see if you can make it through.
I've got feeling in my hands and toes again, so
all right.
Good news. All right, I promised you this cat fight between George Clooney and Steve Wynn last hour, and here it
yes.
is.
George Clooney does not seem like the cat fight kind of guy.
I think he's got some hot-button issues, though.
Oh, okay.
He was having dinner in Vegas with mogul Steve Wynn. For those of you who don't know the name, owns, of course, the Wynn Hotel and the Encore Hotel and the Golden Nugget. I mean, not anymore. He did it one time.
He owned, like, half of Vegas for a while.
Yeah.
And he's legally blind, right?
I know his eyesight is very, very bad.
That's what makes me curious about how this fight's going to unfold.
So, hey, they're having dinner, and that's when the conversation turned to politics.
Uh-oh.
Never a good idea.
Right.
And that's when Steve Wynn called President Barack Obama an a-hole. Apparently, Clooney did not appreciate that and threw out a couple F-bombs and said, you know what, I'm not going to sit at this table while you're being such a jackass.
Really? To Steve Wynn?
Got up from the table, to which then Steve Wynn said publicly to the press this week, George Clooney's fun to be with when he's sober, but if you're drinking together, you want to get there early and don't stay late. Oh, it's on.
It's on.
In response, George Clooney got together 11 of his closest friends and robbed all of Steve Wynn's casino.
I think that was
Can
just
you believe
a movie.
That? Can you believe it?
It's just
they got a oceans. Little. They had this little guy didn't even speak English, but he was like he could fit inside boxes and stuff and crawl through vents.
That's Ocean's
amazing.
11.
And then Matt Damon came along and for some Brad Pitt was always eating during this situation.
No, that's
for some
Ocean's
reason.
11. That's
and they
a movie.
Drilled. They took another one. They drilled into the thing and they stole his artwork.
Now
and
I think
stuff.
You're mixing this up.
Nuts
for the movie.
Nicki Minaj says she has put all of her outlandish costumes and crazy hairstyles behind her. She's serious now. She's for real.
Okay.
Says she's all about wearing high fashion clothes now. She wants to get back to her roots.
What about all the pasties on her nipples?
No, no more. Nope.
She's going to leave that for Gaga?
She said you can either continue doing costumes or you can just say, hey, guess what? This will shock them even more. Doing nothing will shock them even more. No, it doesn't. We're not shocked at all.
It's nothing shocking.
Relieved, perhaps, but not shocked.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I don't know. Oh, my God. I'm so...
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Right.
You are. Another day, another hugely popular sex tape. This says celebrity sex tape here, but I just can't bring myself to say that word in conjunction with this sex tape. It's Mimi Faust and Nico Smith.
Oh, he or she are the
I
best.
Don't
from, know them.
From well, you know, we always watch Love and Hip Hop Atlanta.
I've never heard of it.
Right? Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. We watch that one.
I don't.
I didn't care for Love and Hip Hop Schenectady, but I thought Love and Hip Hop Atlanta was one of the best ones.
Which one is the celebrity of those two names you mentioned?
Both of them. They're both on Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. Well, now, Mimi and Nico, Scandal in Atlanta, has broken records. For pre-sales for celebrity sex tape and is the most pirated sex tape of all time.
What?
What?
You heard me. Apparently there's a particularly scandalous scene that everyone's talking about where Mimi, I guess is the girl of the two, is with Nico in the shower and she is hanging from the shower curtain rod while he's performing some sort of act on her.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And she now has said, with the success of the tape, she is opening, launching her own line of shower curtains and rods.
Oh, my God.
To cash in on the phenomenal success of her chinning herself on the shower curtain while he, does something to her.
I can often be found masturbating to images of celebrities, but I was wondering what it would be like to actually sleep with one.
Sure. Shouldn't we all? Bad news for the Biebs.
Good.
Activists. The company which makes the high-end promethazine codeine cough syrup used to make Sizzurp is taking it off the market.
Really?
Oh, no. There will be no more codeine cough syrup made by this company.
That what was, are the Biebs and Little Wayne going to do?
That was the cough syrup of choice for rappers.
A representative for the company says just too much media attention glamorizing the unlawful and dangerous use of the project. One word is that several big-name hip-hop artists were offering up hundreds of thousands of dollars to get whatever bottles they can off while it's still out there.
Wow.
Soulja Boy posted a photo of himself with six bottles of the cough syrup, saying, "I serve everybody," after the news broke.
Okay.
So he's bragging that he still has six full bottles of the coating cough syrup. So big scissor party at his house.
That'll last him a couple days?
At least.
Yeah.
And there's a new thing. This is the thing now. Supermodels getting into music. Supermodels singing.
Does that work in general?
Well, I guess it depends. Earlier this week, Gisele Bündchen released another single. She released a single, a cover of Blondie's Heart of Glass. Hmm. It's part of an ad campaign for H&M. Apparently, she does work for that department store, that clothing store. That's be released as a single. And now, Miranda Kerr has released her first single.
All right, she's pretty hot.
She is pretty hot. Former Victoria's Secret model told the UK Telegraph newspaper that it's not a change in career, but she just wants to see how things go. She's testing the waters. It's her first ever single. It's a duet with a guy named Bobby Fox. It's the cover of an Elvis Presley song called "You're the Boss."
Okay.
Who did Elvis sing that with, Bean? Was it Ann Margaret or Nancy Sinatra?
Jeez, I don't know. I don't know that one.
Anyway, here's a little taste of Miranda Kerr and her first ever single.
She can sing.
Not bad.
She can sing all right.
It's fine.
Not awful.
Yeah, it sounds fine. And you're right, Ruff. I looked it up. It is Ann Margaret.
Smart of her to stay in the sexy, breathy zone, I think, of her.
Sure.
Of her.
From Viva Las Vegas.
Of her work.
Well, she's on, at least she's on key.
She sounds like that. You're like, yeah.
You know who had an album that I really liked? She wasn't a supermodel, but.
Teen Mom?
Karen Elson, who was Jack White's wife, who was a very successful, very popular model. And then she put out a record that he produced, and I thought, oh, this is going to be great. This is going to be a vanity project. Mm-hmm. And she was very talented. It was really, really good. I was very surprised by that.
And then Jack White married his sister, and that was weird.
That was weird.
This was after he was married to his sister. Mm-hmm.
Oh. I just wanted to point out that Kevin guessed the name of a TV show as a person who put an album. Teen Mom?
Had that song.
Oh, you mean Backdoor Teen Mom?
Yes.
Farrah Abraham.
Yes.
As opposed to the series Teen Mom on MTV.
Yeah.
I gotcha.
Yep.
If I'm not mistaken, Farrah Abraham had a wooden hand, didn't she?
That is actually accurate. Yes.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays. Phil Robertson of the Duck Dynasty clan is 68 years old.
I'll probably have his picture there with a sudden little.
They probably will. David Jay of Love and Rockets and Bauhaus, the bassist for that band, 57 years old.
Call right now and we'll get right back to you.
Yeah, please do.
It's not going to happen.
Oh, no, call, leave your number, and we'll get back to you. Cedric the Entertainer is 50 years old today.
That must have been a moment of party.
Yeah, sure. Jamin Hunsu, also 50 today.
Yeah, what's up?
Melinda Clark turns 45.
What?
Eric Balfour is 37 years old today.
Do you have anything you want to talk about? Or
have some birthdays here. Austin Nichols is 34.
He's down on the phone.
Kelly Clarkson's 32.
Ticketmaster!
Tyson Ritter of All American Rejects is 30.
No! No!
And Catherine Webb turns 25 today.
Booby!
Yes, indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we're going to talk to Jonah Becker. You probably have not heard that name, but he is the director of the movie called The Final Member. He...
It's the final member!
I don't think that's it. No.
His name is not Jonah Pecker?
Becker.
Oh, you sure?
No, I'm not sure. It is the Penis Museum.
I'm just guessing, because Pecker. Pecker's another word for penis.
Yeah. I got that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You look confused.
David Tell will be here. Comedian in the studio. We have the movie beat. Dave the King of Mexico is going to have a horrible weekend at Bean's house. He's going to Bean's house.
What the what?
Bean's very upset by the fact that Dave might have sex in his house. That might happen. And he's very upset about it.
Well, I think some ground rules need to be laid down before the trip. That's all I'm suggesting.
If Bean's not having his sex in his house, nobody's having sex in his house.
Did I mention Dana White on tomorrow's show?
Didn't.
Yep, talking about UFC 172 because the interview with John Jones went so well, I think.
Good old Johns.
He's gonna be on the show
tomorrow. I didn't want to do it, but thank God you did.